September 13, 2012.
No, my arm was really bent by the chief, district chief there. He said, you're going in.
4 years. 5 years, I can say, no. And there's not certain bills, so I guess we just wait and see if whether we get this wallet.
I'm gone. It isn't. All you do is just check the box.
Yeah, it's how it works. I don't know. Is he?
So, yeah,
if we knew Tom's number, I guess we could call him.
Oh, he shows up down.
Yeah, he is. And that's the thing.
So we'll just go ahead and start, maybe. We don't see anybody else is going to. Yeah. Trevor will run upstairs if we need any person pot that he can't handle. He'll go up and grab someone.
Oh, God, I know that Ann's going to be recording this call on your place.
It's going to be a quick one if there's nobody here from. Trevor, you're carrying the torch today?
Yeah, I'm carrying the torch.
All righty.
He's hard of hearing right now.
Really?
Isn't that amazing?
He lost like 70% of his hearing.
Who did?
Gary.
Went hunting? What did he do?
I don't know, I think his wife just came back from Iowa, so I just...
What a person to blame, man.
I'm staying home for the next week with my hearing loss.
Yeah, he just came in the woods. He has some compass data to put together too, so...
Okay.
I'm curious if there's any big issues, I'll run upstairs.
I don't think so. I already talked to him about B-Branch, so...
We're going to get an update on it today?
Yeah. All right, so let's get started. Is there anybody on the phone?
There's a phone on?
Phone's on.
Phone's on. Nobody's on the phone.
Okay. Well, let's go around the room and introduce ourselves. We got some new faces, at least two I see. One's going to be permanent, one's just visiting.
Yeah, hopefully.
Okay.
I want to be visiting, too. Yeah.
You're visiting, but you're visiting every month.
Yeah.
Okay, this is going to be a short, easy meeting for you, so... All right, well, I'm Bernard Klatt. I'm chairing the meeting. I'm the Fish and Wildlife Program Manager at the Portland District.
James Gale, Chief Operations for Lower Monumental Dam on the Snake.
Ann Sutter, Walla Walla District. I co-chair with Bern when he lets me. And
next year you get it on.
Yeah. If he'll turn, he'll get loose.
Greg Moody,
biologist, Walla Walla District.
Agnes Loop, Bonneville Power Administration. So I came over from Oregon DEQ, where I just spent the last 12 years working on the Willamette TMDL. I originally started out as a temperature modeler and also a bacteria, doing some of the bacteria modeling, and then took over the mercury TMDL. And back in 2004, I started as the Columbia River Coordinator for the state of Oregon. So if it touched the Columbia River, it was my baby. So everything from channel deepening to the treaty to, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but the total dissolved gas waivers. Have you guys heard of those?
Oh, you're that Agnes.
That's right.
This is going to be good. This is going to be good, isn't it? This is going to be real good.
I know how to say no. So now I'm working with Scott Benton. It's only my third week here, but I like to say that I'm his mini-me.
All right.
Mini-me.
Well, it's great.
She knows how to dress in black.
Yeah, and I like black. Yeah.
So,
and I worked with a few of you guys before.
Are you going to be shadowing Scott on all this stuff, or is this just for FOM? Okay.
No.
All righty. So we'll
hopefully
be
I get to retire and go kayaking.
That's right. So you'll be going to Fairwigs. And
yeah. That's what we want.
Okay. Well, welcome. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Doug Bowles, CORE.
Lisa Wright, CORE Reservoir Control Center. I haven't met James yet. Fish biologist at the Reservoir Control Center.
She's the one that sends you the teletype.
Yes,
teletype,
you can
ask her.
She's the nasty one down there.
Trevor Conner, NOAA Fisheries.
Ann Stevenson, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Bob Cordy, CORE for the Dallas Dam.
Miro Zendel, CORE, John Day.
Scott Benton, BPA.
Tammy Mackey, CORE, Burns Assistant.
And the Betty Crocker of the house.
So,
Betty here made a bunch of snacks with, why don't you describe what you got over there thing. 15 different jams she whipped up in baked goods.
You have the carrot cake cupcakes because today is John Marisich's birthday. He'll be here a little bit later.
Well, don't miss the meeting.
No kidding. He's going to be the fastest F-bomb ever.
Well, let me have that yellow one.
We have cinnamon scones, and then you have cream cheese frosting, raspberry jam, honey, and then a honey butter.
Did you make the honey yourself?
Yeah.
The honey did come from our beehives, yeah.
Wow.
Awesome.
Crazy. Crazy.
Pass these down.
And she knit that.
Fashion as well.
Yeah.
It's Betty and the model.
Okay, so looking at the agenda, is there any add-ons?
Yeah.
Trevor, you got anything to add on? Usually Gary has something he has on his radar. Nothing?
I have a second.
Greg's got one. You want to put it in updates or what?
Yeah, I'm going to put it in. Actually, I'm going to move the update, the action item for the update for McNary Dam, which requires a coordination request, which I just passed out to everybody here, to put it down at the ladder. Let's see, down at topic number 3.27.
3.27.
Yeah, okay. Adult fish ladder maintenance.
Add handout.
And I added the handout to that. And do we want to go through with this one? This would be hydroacoustic removers, transducers.
Yeah, you're adding that
and
one.
And we're going to add this one on. It's
3.2.8.
Coordination report, or coordination form for McNary. It's 12 MCN 010. Put that in with
equipment removal.
Yeah, equipment removal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, anybody else?
That's it.
Any comments on the August meeting minutes?
Okay.
Comments, anybody?
No comments.
Did Olaf send anything in? I didn't check my email.
No, he did not. I haven't seen anything.
I think he had some.
Some comments.
Comments relating to the surgeon tax section, but I'll get back to you.
We can add that on. We're going to move that meeting into
after October.
Or is it October?
October.
October. We're going to tell them that we'll be putting out an announcement, but we're going to have a surgeon task group meeting then and a presentation by Mike Parsley at FBOM on his latest surgeon research.
That'll be good.
Be a good update.
Yeah, it'll be at the end of the agenda, and then just roll right into the task group.
But is it going to be here? You know, I thought I saw one email that suggested it was going to be out at Bonneville, the PowerPoint. So he's going to come to the meeting here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
If he wants to give his presentation.
Well, I was confused. That's why I'm just clarifying. Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Cool.
Hey, Ray. Okay, well, consider these approved and look for any comments from Olaf. So let's get right into Walla Walla's action items. 2.1,
I want to move that down to the ladder, or to section
3.27.
Okay. We'll deal with that all at once.
Okay, we'll do one big. Okay, so for the core, the Dalles Billgate 9 trunnion pin. I took a look at this again, and for them to replace the pin, it's first of all for their priority at the project. It's not the highest. The crane is.
Correct.
For them to replace the crane, first they have to get our hydraulic design center to design a safety platform around that so they can install it. And they, you know, that alone will cost X amount of dollars, which we don't have right now. So that's the first thing that has to get done. And once that gets done and then fabricated, installed, then we have to get the money to get the resources to put it in. So it's on the radar this year, but it's bigger than just taking a big pin out of the box and sliding it in.
How much money do you need?
Just probably about $500,000.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's what they're guessing.
So
how long did it take?
I don't know how long it would take. I mean, the fabrication is one thing. It's the installation. It's probably a couple weeks at the most. I don't know how
Yeah, well, just setting up prepping for it, from my understanding, is that's like 99% of it, because they have to do the whole scaffold and everything around the gate itself. So,
but they have to do it when there's no spill going on.
It could be months.
Yeah.
To do that job.
Knowing that we can't do that, is there any way we could reprioritize just to get the turning pin in?
Right.
Reprioritize.
Well, is it
the turning pin is the highest priority, knowing that we can't get the crane done.
Is it a money issue, or what's the hold up?
It's money.
Money, yeah.
But if,
because it's joint funding.
But if the crane work is more expensive than we have money for and don't have time, can we do the training pin now and then next year go for the...
I don't think they have the money for the crane.
No.
These are unfunded requests in the hopper.
Yeah.
But how much is the crane?
I don't know anything about the crane.
Okay. It's probably a lot more than the pin.
Yeah. I'd imagine it's more than $1 million.
Can't do the pin without the crane, is that what you're saying?
No. You can do that work. It's on the high priority.
It can be done. I mean, if it's contracted out and then have a contractor crane come in and deal with all that stuff, yeah, it can be done.
I'm just saying, if we're not able to do the crane work, then let's just get the pin done at least.
Yeah, because the project sees a crane as the highest priority, because that is where we are most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Having one gate out of 23 gates not operable is not good, but having a crane that we can't operate. We need to shut down a spill bay, and we have a crane that's not dependable.
Oh, I totally understand that. But all I'm hearing is that we can't do that. So
no, we can't.
But we can do the pin, so let's just do the pin.
If we can find the money for either.
Yeah, so it's finding the money.
It's the same pot of money.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
So my priority, and the OPM there knows that it's the pin, and the OPM's priority is the crane. So we got to keep pushing. And, if there is money freed up this year to get that design at least and that thing fabricated so we can get ready to go and get it installed, and then maybe by next spill we'll see. I don't know. Money's going to be a big issue this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially in the O&M arena, because we got a big cut in the 13 budget. And we submitted it 2 years ago.
And it seems like joint funding is a problem. Even in good years, joint funding has been a problem. So, I don't know.
So we'll just keep this on and keep rolling it. And hopefully
it is.
Hopefully get something done in the next early part of the next FY. Is there a CritFic update?
They didn't send me
okay,
an updated
spreadsheet.
So,
we need all right, we'll post the last Lamprey collections for 2.2.2, and hopefully Aaron will update that. And 2.2.3 is the lethal take on gulls. So Walla Walla is doing a EIS for lethal removal. And I went to our chief of planning and programs. She's the environmental resources branch chief, and she told me that we are not going after that. So there's something higher than my level that is going on with division. I know they're looking at the estuary of the whole program, but an EIS for lethal take at the projects is not going to be pursued by Portland. However, it is by Walla Walla.
Mm-hmm.
Unless
something
changes with you guys.
No, we haven't had anybody stop us yet. But the biggie for us is that we still have to do kind of a BA or EA and try to get that done in time to then go through the permitting process.
So when you get coverage for the snake in the Columbia, or is it just going to be project specific?
It'll be for all of our five projects that we will make that request. And so then... depending on how that goes, that might actually make it easier should you guys ever change your mind, too, because we will have McNary covered, assuming that we're successful.
Right.
I missed that. What was the reason why not?
She didn't give me a reason. No. She's just told me through email. I haven't seen her since.
It seems like, as far as avian issues go, other federal agencies, like Federal Highways, they just consult with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. They go fish and wildlife. And I know it takes forever, but it seems... like from a program level, like let's just say crazy speak, we have this thing called the FCRPS, we have this thing called U.S. Fish, they do the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, we said, hey, we have some gull issues, you put it in, cap it. But yeah, that's how Federal Highways does it on all their bridge projects, for example. They got to whack birds. They, under Migratory Bird Treaty Act, they're all protected. So you just have to put a U.S. fish under Migratory Bird Treaty Act, get a permit, and
well,
then USDA APHIS comes out and shoots birds.
APHIS actually already has a permit in place for some of the other place, other agencies that hire them, and so we're thinking that we may be able to tap into that, and that'll probably be the savior time-wise by the time we get an EA done and go through the process, if we hope to do it next year.
And that has been tapped into before.
A number of times, yes.
So that's kind of where we're headed.
Did you guys look to see if we already have an EA that covers this?
We had one joint with Portland, and we're just going to modify it slightly, I think, is all we have to do.
You don't have to redo the whole thing.
You don't, but you don't know our,
process.
Our compliance folks in-house stuff like that. That's, we might not think so, but we have some bigger issues, too, politically within the district.
So at our district, we're about to hire somebody in the fish passage team that's going to be working on avian predation issues, so obviously they have some vision that I'm not aware of. When once this happens, Paul Schmidt, I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah,
he's did the EIS EA. He's gonna get. I guess he's gonna his title or his responsibilities are gonna get shifted to this new person, and he's gonna be doing something else. So you know how that works.
Okay.
We'll see.
We never really saw much of him. I remember when he first came, we saw him at a meeting or two,
right.
And then he kind of became invisible.
Right. Well, he's going to be very invisible now to you.
Yeah.
I
think Ken's had a few discussions with him on the phone, but it'll be a new person.
So there'll be a new person, or that those duties are going to get assigned to somebody else in the Environmental Resources Branch.
Okay.
Going down to three updates. Portland updates, 311 John Day Trash Rake Crane.
Oh, okay. That's
John Day Trash Rake Crane.
Okay.
Miro.
Okay, the crane failure occurred in August. The last month, the raking of trash racks occurred in late July. Parts have very long lead time because this is old equipment, obsolete, and have been on order since March of this year. And expected in October. So we don't have any raking capability at this time. John Day APM requested an engineering review of this old, outdated equipment to see if it needs modernization. It kind of sneaked up on us until just a couple years ago. It was working just fine for like 30, 40 years. And then we had one failure, and then second failure. And I'm hearing from the maintenance people that it needs modernizing. So right now, this time of year, we don't seem to have any problem with debris, because typically we don't have that in the fall. But the project will come up with some emergency raking options if necessary. So that's all I have.
So do you have any idea what your possible options in an emergency would be, I guess, having...
Mobile cranes.
Okay.
Maybe we really don't have them kind of scoped out yet. It's still on the drawing table.
What broke on the trash rack?
Pardon me?
The crane.
The crane broke?
Yeah,
the trash rack crane. The one which raised the trash racks.
Yeah, I was just wondering what broke.
Oh, it was the clutch or the drum or something which releases.
It can't move up and down.
Right.
That's
pretty much
broken. That takes care of it.
So if let's keep this on the agenda, obviously, for October, and you should have an update on those parts. And I guess, is it going to take a long time to get it back together?
It's going to be back together before the next season.
The ones that have restarted.
Which is before April.
Do you need money? Do you need money?
No.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Well, not for the repairs. There is going to be money needed for remodeling because, again, this could open a whole can of worms. We cannot, if we just continue repairing and we'll see a series of failures anyway, we need to review the overall condition of this crane. And because it's, again, old, wore out, 40 years old, it was working fine. It was kind of patched up, usually, but nobody has been looking at its overall, you know, condition to in the context of modernizing.
Right. How about the trash rack rake as well? You remember last year at this time, McNary's just like fell apart, and we spent like 9 months trying to do something that, there. So you should maybe look at that as you go through. And
that also includes that problem, because the way they rake now, they have to move it sideways underwater. They would prefer to have it just going up and down. It would eliminate lots of stress and problems.
So this is going to be just
But again, that's under the one umbrella. Right.
But this is just going to be replace the parts. And
yeah, but right now it's just
a whole other
separate project. But you got to get it, things in work to look at it for modernization.
Right.
It just appeared on our radar screen kind of out of sudden. Like I said, it was quiet for 40 years, and now it's a big blimp.
What they got? I feel the same way.
It's hardly,
You work fine, and then it just doesn't work anymore.
I know, that's my my life story, too.
Yeah, I'm just upstream of you. 22 cranes are going down the tubes.
So we already talked about the trunnion pin, so we'll do the new Wasco County PUD turbine at the Dalles.
Oh, wow.
Okay. 113.
Yeah, and I know it sounds like you guys are already working something, BPA and PUD.
But we were going to talk, but they
having
decided,
dialogue.
They decided to delay our talk. So
imagine that.
But what I propose to do though is to change the fish passage plan and incorporate the amount of water that goes to the ladder, put in a specific quantity.
Okay.
And so when you're able to provide that,
I'll get
updated. Because we, from what I've understood, is that we're currently in criteria and everything's fine. So at doubling the water isn't necessarily something we need to do. And so I want to make sure it's clear when they do their modeling on their new turbine that they have the ability to know how much water they'll have available to use.
Okay, so I misunderstood your email. You were saying not what's come down the ladder, what PUD is putting out.
Well, whatever constraints, whatever we're using in the ladder, how we want to identify how the water is. We currently want to use the same amount of water that we're doing to make it stay within criteria. I haven't been able to find the need for the extra 0.8 KCFS.
Mm-hmm.
So to make sure that we're clear as to how much water is needed in the ladder, I wanted to put specific quantities in our FPP so that we can identify that. And if they want to do modeling on that number, they'll have a specific number to go with.
Okay. Okay. So I'll do some more digging on that to get you some numbers. What I wanted to do is just, and there's an attachment to the agenda, which I tried to kind of summarize. So what does adding another turbine on the north side mean for fish? And you know, at first glance, you know, you'd think, oh, that's 800 CFS that is unscreened, and now it's going to be totally screened for juveniles. You'd think that would be beneficial, but not necessarily. Rick and I talked a bit on this too. So overall, on the juvenile passage side, probably won't mean anything to have a second turbine in there, as far as a benefit or a disadvantage. From the adult passage side, the most we could come up with is if we have the east fishway fail right now and we don't have attraction for the east fishway, we would do anything to have more attraction over on the north. Which is something that the district is working on right now. They're working on having a backup system for the east. But, you know, that's been on the books for 20 years. They've been looking at that. So whether or not 20 years from now we'll have that backup system, who knows? But at least the wheels are still turning towards getting a backup system for the east. But between now and then, you know, if the east does fail, if the fish units on the east does fail, then having them both fail, remember there's two fish units there, having them both fail, odds are pretty slim, but the potential is there, the older to get. That's really the only thing we could come up with as a scenario that would be advantageous to have additional water coming out the north. But if you look at normal operation east is running fine and north is running as it is, or north is running with an extra 800 CFS, you might get more fish using the north in a, well, you probably will get more fish using the north in a no spill scenario, because that's when we have no attraction to the north ladder and virtually 95 plus percent of the fish go towards east, because that's where all the flows come. During a spill scenario, so you probably would get more fish using the north in that case. If the spill is in operation under relatively low flow conditions, it probably wouldn't matter whether you have, because it's not an attraction issue anymore. You get plenty of fish nosing into the spillway, and then the entrance is right there, one versus two, probably won't make a difference.
So when is Bonneville planning on having this dialogue with them?
Well, they postponed it indefinitely.
Indefinitely.
Yeah, so Alex, that's fine. I mean, if they want to move forward with building a turbine that's going to run once every 20 years, I'm okay. They can make any investments they would like, but we want to be clear as to how much water goes through the ladder for our needs.
Once every 20 years, where they?
Well, it's an emergency. You're saying in that one period, if they wanted to run it when we had an emergency?
Oh.
You could build it and have it sit there.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that, I mean, I don't think that's their intention, obviously.
I wouldn't imagine, but our intention is to be clear as to how much water we need to go through the ladder.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that they can make a decision based on a volume of water and a quantity. Yeah.
So, I mean, bottom line is you would think, another entrance, that's great. The more, the better. But when it really comes down to it, you look at everything, all the scenarios, you look at juvenile passage, adult passage, normal operation, it'd probably be pretty transparent whether we have one or two entrances worth of water over there.
Really?
Like I say, the only thing is that emergency backup. We would desperately want both those entrances open over there if we were in that.
Can you spill the water through the spillway? One goes through the turbine, one goes through the spillway.
Right now we can run the bypass. Yeah. And
so if you had to move more water through, you just open the spillway and spill it through.
Yeah, we can. And
so we have a backup.
You don't.
The backup.
And you no longer have your screening capability once you do that for juveniles. But yeah.
You're just spilling them through.
Theoretically, you could.
I mean, that's how it ran before they built the other turbine.
And the last time, you know, I don't even know, and that's something I've been trying to get a hold of PUD just to see if there's what we could actually do just for a test run on it, to run both bypass and PUD. Now, it was done in the early 90s just before I got out there, and the results weren't very good. And Rick, were you around then?
Well,
do you remember that?
I wasn't working for him then. I was around, but
okay.
I was working, doing the same thing. You mean when they
blew a bunch of grating.
Blew the gratings out? Yeah, I was around for that.
Okay. Yeah, so from what I understand, they were pushing it to run both. They did. Too much water, blew grating, and then it was a disaster from there. But
let's not try that.
Things are a little different now, too. I mean, all the grating's new.
Right.
And it's secured better, so I wouldn't be real concerned about that. But we definitely would have to go through hydraulics to Portland to make sure that, you know, we're not looking at excessive velocities coming through grading or through the intake or whatever. We'll take a closer look at it.
No, got anything to say?
I mean, I don't see a huge benefit if the auxiliary water supply goes through, from what you're saying. But if that doesn't go through for some reason, I mean, George is making all kinds of promises that we're going to end up doing that. But if that doesn't go through, I mean, that's an option that we would look at to improve passage in case things slide over now. But right now, I don't see us pushing real hard for it from a fish perspective if that auxiliary, you know, project goes through.
And who's actually having discussions with the PUD? Is it the project or?
We've had, they brought it to us just to show us, you know, this is what we're looking at doing, and then they've gone elsewhere for approval.
They were looking at submitting a FERC license, is my understanding. Is that what
it
worked? Yeah, that's the first step, was what I understand. They got to get a permit from FERC to, you know, have 1 year permit to investigate it further or do some preliminary engineering and so forth.
Sure.
Okay.
And Rick, was there anything I missed on the adult juvenile passage
No, I think I touched on points that we talked about. So.
Okay. All right.
That's it.
Thanks. Next one is the Bonneville Spillway 15 hoist update. I think we have some news here.
Yeah, everything's done. Gearbox is replaced. Everything except one step, I think we have to wait on replacement of the wire rope, which will happen the 24th.
Right on.
We don't do that. Vendor comes in and unspools and spools it. Pretty slick system. So after that, we should be good to go.
3 years.
Hallelujah.
That was a long lead time.
Yes. All right, so make note, 3 years to get a spillway hoist repaired at Bonneville.
Are you going to do a Unit 11 update?
A Unit 11 update? Yeah, it's the next one. Unit 11.
Running like a
unit.
Sort of. It's still got some
like a wobbly top.
Startup is kind of weird, so our slow roll protocol is kind of in question. We can do it, but they have to keep it below 15 RPM and then run through what would normally be our slow roll range relatively quickly. It's still, for whatever reason, running rough in that area. Once it gets up to speed and runs, it seems to be good.
How often does it come off, though? Isn't it first
priority unit right now? Or?
Not often.
Do they know why it's like that?
Maybe. I mean, they're not happy with what they think is the reason why, which is ultimately the same reason it was down for 4 years, which is out-of-round issue. Why that corrects itself at speed, I don't know. But
it's like a tire that's out of balance.
Maybe it's got
the right RPM.
It's got the tear down the highway.
Eventually self-correcting.
Wow. Well, they're going to, I mean, the guidance is to run their
maintenance schedule,
so that's what they're doing.
To the screens are in 11?
Yes.
Okay. So it'll go out of service in the first week of November?
We'll pull BBSs now and remain in service.
Okay. You still can do that. No crane issues yet?
Yet.
All right.
316 is winter maintenance schedules. Bonneville's posted to the website. Please get your winter maintenance schedules to Tammy so she can post them.
Yeah, so I can go too.
With rolls, it's in the 3-2 wall-to-wall updates.
Transport.
Who's the transport report?
I think Greg's going to handle it, but just FYI, within the last week, we've gone to piggybacking between Granite and Goose because the numbers collected are so low. So that's kind of unusual this early. Just
numbers are very low, yes. As of September 10, we're transporting from Granite, Goose, McNary, and Lomo, of course. Numbers are low. Collection daily, 52 to 226. That's of August 22nd, but it's even lower right now. To date, 5,794,492 smolts have been collected this season. And only 46% of them, which was about 2,600,000, have been transported. That's very similar, it says here, from 2011, number-wise.
So everybody's aware that at the end of the month, so that's just 2 weeks away, then we're going to stop at McNary and Lower Monumental.
Yeah.
So we have 2 weeks left there, and then we'll continue through October at Granite and Goose.
Right.
Do we have any issues with the truck barge release site, trucking, I mean, release?
I believe he looked at that the other day.
Any problems this year?
There was an issue earlier that they actually it was an avian. I think was it an avian thing? Related where they went down there to look because we were having.
Yeah, that's right. It was a valve.
They left the valve on when they were washing it.
Yeah, that was fixed. That was about it. Okay, yeah,
and because we've been doing per Ken Thorne's request as much as we can avian observation there at the outfall.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen literally zero.
Okay.
So it's been good so far. We don't get a chance, unfortunately, to see the big truck very often, just by chance. but we'll keep watching. We'll keep a track for him.
Okay, appreciate
so
that.
Far, so good,
yeah, no, I think what we'd heard is that there was a new process when the trucks came on and calling, and then some of our folks are whining a bit, but it seems like it's working for you okay, right?
It's fine for us, and I don't know if it's straight. I think they had a legitimate complaint because depending on who you reach in the control room, they get the why are you bothering me response. But that's what they were told by their boss to do. So I think it's straightened out now.
Okay.
I hope.
Do you know what time the trucks show up?
No, I don't have that time exactly now.
Is it morning?
But you know,
midday?
No, it would be late afternoon, I would expect.
From the upper areas there. Let's see, it's only probably, what, about 3-4 hours from McNary, so it's probably the first part of the morning.
Well, they don't generally get out of Goose. So if Granite and Goose are piggybacking and they leave Granite at 9, and then they get to Goose at 10:30, they spend an hour to hour and a half, they're not out of there till noon. So, and then you're looking probably at another 7 hours at least, 7 to 8 hours before they get down here. So it's early evening probably.
Okay. I think get down about 3 or 4 o'clock, something like that.
How can they with that?
7 o'clock's pretty dark.
Yeah.
So it may be closer to 5 or 6, but you know, if you think about driving just a regular vehicle, Greg, from Goose, I mean, it's essentially.
It's
about
an hour
and a half to Walla Walla, and then you know another four hours easy. So that's 6 hours.
We could probably get the real information sometime here and give it to
them. I'm interested sometime to watch it unload. So
okay.
Well, Scott, we get calls from them, and the McNary guys get there midday-ish.
Yeah. Do you want to be down there for this?
I wanted to watch it once. I was going to take Agnes and some others out to see what's going on.
John
Bonneville.
Bailey. And have
we can have it as a duet. Okay. What time does the truck get to Bonneville?
Call, contact Scott.
Let Scott. And, you know, I was going to ask you, Agnes, what is your phone number, just for records? Do you know your desk number? Oh, you don't? Okay. Maybe just email. You can email it, just if we're going to put you on a contact list.
It'll come out in the notes.
So
it'll come out.
I haven't memorized yet.
It'll come out in the.
So Scott, if you're not available,
thank you.
Call
thank you.
Or call
sure, Agnes. Just give us a general time when it's going to be there.
Send us an email. No, in general.
Yes.
From now on.
Yes. She'd be number two.
She's number two.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a due out. We got it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Thanks.
Cell phone too. All right. Next, 322 is McNary.
Oh, the
entrance weird,
not meeting criteria. I guess that second call, Trevor, you were on that one?
Yes.
It looks like they got somewhat of a approval to run into the end of the season.
Right.
And then after that point of time, they'll come back and re-consult with you.
It's not far off. I mean, usually we go with 8 feet of depth, and our criteria for McNary was 9 feet. Nobody could really recall specifically why it was 9 feet. We're about halfway between 8 and 9. So we went ahead and made the decision to let them run that where it's at, as long as they keep their head differential at criteria.
Right.
And then we'll just evaluate how it did. So it's not a big deal.
So that's what they're going on right now.
So you say it's not a big deal. What are you thinking for next year at this point in time if nothing changes?
Well, I mean, not a big deal in this year. We want that pump in specifically to meet that criteria and for a backup pump in case one of our pumps goes down. Because right now, if one of our pumps goes down, we're not even going to be close to meeting criteria.
Can we meet 6 feet with the pump down?
I'm not sure.
The ladders are all built for 6 feet criteria.
We
invented it later for 8.
Really?
So we may be able.
What's the FPP? It's
FPP is the 9. That's what he's looking for. He's just saying that FPP vault over
there. I mean, at that point, we're dropping the bulkheads for that. And we're not going to run 6 feet and still have those bulkheads open for Lamprey. So we'll drop those with 2 pumps.
Do we have that in place to know if it does happen, what we do? Or should we write that up?
I think there's one
if
for
we lose
two pump operations.
If we lose a pump, what would we do? Yeah. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah.
We're expecting to be in criteria next year.
Yeah.
Sure, but at some point we may want to visit the criteria. It's over the years, do we want to go there? You know?
Visit one pump operation.
There's chances we're not going to have enough maintenance dollars over the next several years to start fixing everything.
I mean, how did you guys prioritize that pump for McNary? Is that high up on the list?
It's high, but it's not currently funded. So it's at this point in time, it's not likely that we foresee it happening, even though it's a very high priority, because we don't have the dollars. And so that's hence my question of just where you thought we might be going. If we, you know, for us, you know, what we're seeing is that in order for lamprey issues to be accommodated, we're always breaking into salmon criteria, both juvenile and adults. So, you know, at Lomo, with the juveniles, we got into screening criteria, and here we are now for adults getting into the latter criteria. And I guess one of the things that was brought up to me before you guys had your phone call by somebody a little higher up is that, wait a minute, now we have an adult passage system that was built to have one spare there, so if we lose a pump, we've always got that backup. We're moving towards a system that's going to need all three pumps, which means we're not going to have a backup, which means we're putting more stress on our system. You know, we need some more discussion on whether we really think we should be going there type stuff. And so that's a little bit of where we are in-house. Mm-hmm.
Well, my thought, too, is that this open bulkhead was kind of a experimental idea, and there's another plan that should be better for lamprey. And, I mean, my question to you guys is, can you operate that other design with just two pumps and maintain salmon criteria? Because our goal is to stay within criteria. We don't want to make a whole bunch of sacrifices to our criteria for the lamprey. We haven't consulted on these lamprey modifications. If we start making a bunch of sacrifices to our criteria, we're going to have to consult. And so any avoidance of that would be appreciated, so we don't have to go there. Mm.
Well, and I think that shared as well.
Yeah, I hear that big time. Boy,
so I guess maybe that message, and if Tom were here, he might be able to assist, but, you know, largely the lamprey group is kind of working outside of any of our standard regional forums and then just kind of coming back either to Fitterwig or here requesting changes. And I guess, anyway, maybe we'll maybe we have a need for a update at the next meeting on what that other design might be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically a structure that goes in there with a bunch of baffles, and it has a bunch of resistance baffles, so it's basically slowing the flow down. So you won't have 8 feet per second coming out of the slot. It'll be more like 4 or 5 feet per second.
Gee.
So that's better for lamprey to swim through, and it's going to restrict salmon from swimming through the slot also. So what I don't know is if the pumps will be able to keep up with that level of flow or not. I have no clue. And I don't know if anybody does really. I don't know if they really look very deeply into that or not.
Okay, but we'll put it on for an update on the other possible design, just so that we kind of have something tracking here a little bit.
So, I am just part of a larger point, because I'm involved with some of the lamprey work myself. Is there ways that we can coordinate more closely as a working group before we come to FPOM, before we come to sort of UG? Are we trying to coordinate earlier on?
Think about, you know, we sit down for the fish passage plan on an annual basis, and if you at the lamprey working group has a design that you're working on, and maybe you haven't gone down for your modeling, maybe you could be bringing it in here early to talk about it, and that you're going to subsequently model, just so people have a heads up, because it, like, even though they did modeling last year at McNary, they kind of got some feedback from the project, and then they went ahead and then came back out to the project and talked to them about it. But there's kind of this hard push from the design end to find something that's optimum and work out the operational details later. So I guess maybe a little synopsis of potential operational adjustments and or changes that could occur with each designs that are being contemplated could be brought here early, so that people could kind of weigh in on alternatives that they would find from the project bios to be what they would prefer as options. And then when you go down and model, you could come back and report that, yeah, we looked at this and it either is a go still or it isn't for some reason, rather than, like in the case of McNary, there really wasn't a lot of feedback over what they put in. And you know, time frame and money stuff seems to enter there, and I know that some of the folks on Lamprey, like the tribes, like the fact that it doesn't go through these committees because they don't get as much feedback and they have a lot more flexibility to do what they want. At the same time, they're causing us a lot of headaches, so I guess that would just be the, you know, yeah, little upfront.
Who's the Lamprey point of contact? Derek? For you guys?
Yep.
Yeah, Derek.
So you guys should make sure he's talking to you a lot more.
There's several people from Walla Walla involved in the Lamprey group.
Oh, yeah.
It's Ken, and we have, yeah, it's... Ken,
and there's hydrologists involved.
Feeding him a little better. I'm just trying to figure out how.
Can we put an agenda item for next meeting to get an update?
Yeah, let's get an update from the Lamprey group.
Okay.
Start doing that.
That would probably be a good idea. That would help a lot, actually.
In case something gets dropped or slips through the crack, at least it might come up.
The whole group is, you know, they really are leaning forward with a lot of experimental work to try to pass these commissions. Deal with a lot of unknowns, but there's been a big push from the tribes to not sit here and study to death. They don't want to see it go down the salmon route and spend most of the money studying things. They want to see actions.
Yeah. But it affects.
I mean, that makes sense at this point in time.
That's a whole conversation to have. I understand that.
It's good, but what I think what's happening is that, you know, they're talking about designs at monthly meetings, and until they're really ready to implement, nobody wants to talk to, you know. Some of it is internal. Some of it's maybe the PM. Right. I know Mark Smith is a little reluctant to bring things that are tentative, and so when we ask him to come to this meeting, he's not always willing, you know, or ready to come, but I guess. So I think we're just talking communication. If anything we can do to kind of, in a little bit more long-term planning fashion, give us a heads up operationally, right, where we might see impacts would be appreciated.
Both at FPOM and at the, you talked about the Fitzpatrick Plan group meeting, that an annual.
Well, yeah, it's a Fitterwig issue when you're doing designs. On the other hand, there's operational issues that are associated with these designs, and I guess what we're seeing at our end over in Walla Walla is they work through their Fitterwig issues a lot of times not taking into account the operational changes that might occur. And that should be being talked about when they're looking at alternatives.
Right. So I know that Nathan is our ops person on the Lamprey team. Do you have an ops person?
We have Ken Phone,
so
and
Ken
we can
Phone
talk
and
to Ken.
He should be calling in on the Lamprey update along with Nathan. You guys should like definitely have a report out every month.
Okay. Yeah.
At least for FPOM. As far as the Fitterwig stuff, you guys gotta like have that in-house stuff cleaned up, because I don't think we're getting many surprises on our side from Lamprey.
Okay.
Alright.
So yeah, no, we
I hear from Sean all the time.
Yep. Okay.
And if Sean isn't getting a hold of me, then Nathan's bringing it up. Okay, so let's put those on the updates on the agenda for next. Well, we'll just keep it on there every month.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay, can we move to 3.23, Granite's fish pump trash rack?
Fish pump trash rack. They've had a couple of outages already this year on this fish pump, trying to determine what the problem is. What's going on is the fish pump has been warming up quite a bit, but The point is, by now, they should have known what the problem is or what's going on. Outages started out in June. The pump was out for a little bit for high temperature, but it seems to be running fine all the way through.
So
what's getting that right now, it may be a different crew that's operating it or inspecting this thing, noticing different levels of temperature at that location. Inspections may be different than it was last year. Maybe this pump operates at that temperature all the time naturally. They don't feel that there's a problem with it now. Just talking with Rich Hilt at the plant, the chief of operations there. So we're still looking at it, but so far all three fridges.
So we can take this one off, because at the last month we talked about the fact that the bottom of the trash racks had never been raked before,
yeah,
and they were
right,
thinking that there was still maybe some debris caught down there, and so they've eliminated that issue since last month.
That's still begun, so that one's taken care of. Next one in line there, Unit 1, Lower Granite. It's back in service now with a fixed blade. and it returned to service on the 6th of September. And it's working in with the 1% band at this time. So that's good news on that one. 3.25, Lower Monumental, Raceway Perforated Plate Tail Screen. We've asked Bill Spurgeon for an update. They are monitoring that. A quick little update earlier this week from his assistant Biles and the Dancing Fish go through that perforated plate. They've seen little sticks, things like that go through. But, you know, I'd like to see something more than just a quick little, you know, update on the telephone about it. So we've asked, we're going to ask the project for a quick little report due out on that thing.
For next.
So that's a lamprey thing that the project's doing.
So yeah, we'll have an update with that at that time. F-POM, lamprey. Next one in line, McNary, Bird Cannon, walkway update.
Is there one?
Is there a walkway still?
There's still no walkway.
There's still no walkway. Fasteners are ordered. They're going to be they'll be delivered. I swear they tell me that on the 22nd of October. Well, that's for the walkway.
How about the cannon?
Cannon went to the river bottom. The pump did.
So they can't fix the pump. They can't fix the pump until the walkway is fixed. But yeah, they are on track to put in a temporary pump so that we will have at least something out there for spring.
Right.
Their intention is to put in a permanent pump, you know, back on the shore. But because of, and I think we talked about this last time,
right,
I was concerned they might not have anything. We will at least have the temporary by next spring.
Temporary go on shore, or does it go out?
No, it's out at the tip end, but it's on the downstream side rather than on the upstream side of the walkway. And it's a, you know, there's just, you can see how this is stumbling along. And so even though nobody from the rep side was concerned that we do it, we went ahead with the temporary just so that we have some idea that we'll have something next spring.
No, so we were concerned about you doing it. We said you didn't have to get it done right now.
Well, people are like, don't waste the money, but then we already had the contract out, and the only thing that's holding it up right now is the walkway, so we just kind of kept it in the pipe.
There's no way to keep that temporary system on the shore that way it doesn't blow off again? Blows out there or something?
See, we don't have the conduit in place to make that temporary system and or the appropriate pump. You know, all that was done back in June. They did the ordering, and then a lot of the wait until now has been either tailwater or walkway grading. So recall they went out and fixed walkway grading, and then there was another issue. So it's
high water, blown out the walkway. Whatever.
I was thinking it'd be kind of silly to blow another pump into the
river. Yeah, it's
a low probability to get three high water years in a row.
So we should have got a row. Now it's supposed to be low probability.
It's getting lower.
It's getting lower. We're losing it.
How effective was that can to start with?
How effective?
Yeah. I know the one at John Day was marginal at best.
You know, maybe NIMS want, you know, Gary argued hard that at a minimum we have that he wanted that cannon operating back when we had all the birds. You know, we had about a 3-week period where we had more birds in the tail race than we've historically had. Lots of gulls in the air.
I can speak to this a little bit if you want to. Some of this will be in my presentation in kind of a roundabout way.
Okay.
But in general, where they seem to have counted most of the birds at McNary this season was actually the spillway upstream of the juvenile fish outfall, not really associated with the juvenile fish outfall. So as far as cannon goes, that's the majority.
It seems like it was like maybe 30 fish around the outfall and several hundred below
birds,
the
fish.
Sorry, birds.
Birds.
Yeah. Oops.
Right, so it's not an evaluation of a hydrocannon by any means, and I don't think those have ever really been done. They're probably about marginally effective as they are most places. It's something that's typically been done because we can do it, and it's not super expensive.
Right.
This one's getting more expensive.
Obviously.
Has anybody, you know, we also talked about, and I think they've talked about that at Lomo, just having a rope hang because of the pelican issue. Do you have experience elsewhere where anybody's put something like that in?
No.
What is a rope hang?
As in like a
an array spread out over the top of the water?
No, actually, I think as it's been described to me, it's just something that breaks up that fly upstream and swim past the outfall, the bypass outfall, where it's dropping in by the pelicans. And so by having a rope trailing in the water, kind of right at the surface there, it breaks up that fly path, and then they don't do it. And so they've talked about it, both at Lomo and McNary, possibly doing that. Just
I know that was tried at John Day, Fort Galls, and they put just a float and kind of tried to make a like
just
a wedge.
Floating net kind of thing?
Yeah. It didn't work out real well. I mean, it was always getting messed up because of the flows. But
the engine lines coverage should have to work perfectly. Mm-hmm. It eliminated the problem completely.
Those big ones that you got.
So the avian at McNary, you know, is kind of the new wires is kind of dependent on whether how we do for performance standard testing.
Right.
You know, if we didn't meet performance standards, then I think we could probably get CRFM to pay for some bird wires. So we'll wait till we get an update.
Is that going to be another $10 million system?
I mean, yeah.
Like you guys it'll be something like what they did downstream. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, it's also associated too with the transport issue because
there's a lot of hanging on that one.
Do you want our old avian cannon from John Day? We can give it to you for free.
Oh, gee, yeah, pass it on.
It's not on the bottom. It.
It's still there. It's not having any use.
Driving out more important prior to spill as well. That's something to forget about is that operations have changed pretty greatly, and the bird kind of deterrents are sort of keeping up with that. So you go to a lot of projects, the powerhouses have wire arrays at them, but they don't have birds there. And so is that because they're working, or is that because the birds are not working the spillway?
Spillway's interesting. Well, wire projects.
The history at John Day was that we had that outfall covered first, and it worked. It was immediately effective after we developed that. That was the previous version of it. Of an avian line grid for just for the JBS outfall. It was effective.
Okay, so there is a temporary cannon going in. Talk about avian arrays at McNary and get an update on that.
But can you touch base on using their cannon, John Day, if they really aren't going to use it?
Yeah, I mean, that's something you should talk about. You guys should get a hold of him and find out what that cannon thing is.
Let me know.
Okay.
If it's
storing it and go use it.
You should offer it up.
Yeah, really, yeah. If it's available and get it.
Good idea.
Absolutely.
And then I didn't see.
So the next one is your maintenance schedules.
I just passed out the Walla Walla District Fish winter maintenance schedule that we have going on for next year.
Did you send it electronically to Tammy?
No. Yeah. Well, I can get to you. That's not just as easy.
Our scanner.
But this will also go with the NWW action items from the very first topic that I should have talked about. And then that's when I hand out that first coordination form at the beginning of the meeting. Walla Walla is going to be working on at the McNary Dam cranes 9 and 10. The crane 9 is over the Oregon ladder, crane 10 is over the Washington ladder, fish ladders, adult fish ladders. They both are in replacement this year. In June 2011, I asked, can we work on each crane during the winter, you know, over water without unwatering the ladders? And F-Bomb said, fine, no problem at all like that. So we went ahead and did that. A new complication came this year in about June. They asked me if they can start tearing apart the cranes early this year. I mean, and I said, well, how early is early? They say 15 December. Again, the ladders will not be unwatered. Ladder will be fully functional as it will be at that time. They're just going to be removing the crane from the Oregon shore. It takes approximately a week, maybe a week and a half, to remove a crane. Fully disassemble it, remove it from the site, and take it over to the port of Umatilla, where they will be staging for the other one that they're going to be putting in place. They're going to work on the Oregon ladder in February, and this is so that they can delay any contractual problems, any commissioning problems, any contractor problems, any contract problems, whatnot, because we need to use this crane
to perform winter maintenance. It has to be. That's the only way that we can close the Tainer valve to shut the water off, and it's the only way we can close the Chapman valve, too, on the Oregon ladder. So we're asking for an early outage on McNary to do, get this work done. And I provided the MOC for McNary right there for a review, and it's got the date of about the 17th of December where we'd like to take the Oregon ladder, well, work on the Oregon crane. It's got fish numbers in it because we have started, you know, we did look at fish numbers there. Fish numbers for Chinook, fall Chinook, look about the same through the month, maybe double digits, but it's high at first. Of course, it drops off during the end of the month. Fish numbers for steelhead, they peak around early mid-month, and then they drop off after that. We're lucky this year we started video fish counting in March this year at McNary Dam, and it shows no Chinook in the ladder in March. But it did show a steady rising number of steelhead, of course, in March this year as the days went on. So we don't want to delay getting that ladder in place. That's what I'm getting at. So to make sure we don't delay it, the maintenance that we need to do to the ladder, we like to start, you know, 2 weeks early on the Oregon shore.
Well, so you're not going to shut the ladder
down. Well, we're not going to shut the ladder down during December.
Right.
It's fully functional. And just like the Washington ladder will be fully functional. It's just that we'll be working above it. You've seen those cranes up there. They're way above. And we just leave tearing them down.
That's fine.
So that's the only, that one's an early outage. As you look at the other ones, a normal outage, 1 month per ladder, Ice Harbor, 1 month per ladder approximately for Lower Monumental, January, February, the regular months. We're starting lamprey work on the two dams upstream. And at Little Goose, for a full 2 month outage. So that they can do all the lamprey contractual work that they got in place there. Plus also there's another coordination form below there for Lower Granite for an outage, an early outage at Granite. They have full 2 months of contractor work plus also in-house work on the ladders, and they require an extra 2 weeks, they've told me. And I said, okay, we'll bring the FPOM. You can see the coordination is actually is in your FPOM agenda as you printed it out for today. You can see there the fish numbers. We do have fish numbers for Lower Granite Dam from the 1st of December all the way down to the 30th of December. Same story. Both little species, Chinook, Fall Chinook and Steelhead. Minimal effects.
Greg, it looks to me like at Granite you're looking for a 2.5 month outage rather than
a little early. Okay. 2 months. They'll be coming out early and going all the way through to the end of the month of February. They're doing lamprey work.
How long do we usually have?
Usually a month, maybe a month and 2 weeks at both projects.
So at Lower Granite, they're going to be replacing the adult grading as well as putting in the lamprey orifices.
Yeah, the little ports that we've done down at McNary Dam and other dams downstream. So
Granite and Goose are both single ladder now? Goose?
Yeah, they're single ladders.
Yes. Well, I hate to see them out for that long.
This was mentioned, but in order for them to take care of all the gradings.
Yeah.
Well, actually, at Goose, they're not doing gradings, are they? I think they're making the standard lamprey improvements, which is at the bottom, the little ramps and the underwater orifices. But the grading is at Granite. So I don't know if we brought this last month to FPOM or not, but grading had been purchased for Granite. It was half inch. It was the wrong size. There was hydraulic concerns, so they were going to trade that back. And then 13 was the year that we had some money in O&M for them to do the replacement, so we were heavily pushing them to try to do it while there was money. It sounds like they think they can do it right now, but that they needed an extra couple weeks in order to get that to get a contractor in there and get this all accomplished. So while it isn't optimum to have those down, I think at least from the standpoint of Lower Grant and the grading, that we should strongly look at the fact that we have money for 13 and we don't know when we'll have money again.
Yes, good points. There are steelhead, though, that are passing Granite Goose throughout the whole winter.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And it looks like the numbers are maybe down this year as well, making them even more important, to kind of get them up there. Yeah, I think I hear that.
So you'll have them operating until the end of December?
Except Granite. He's asking for December 17th at Lower Granite.
Also.
December 17th.
Yeah, so we got a 2.5 month at Granite, 2 month Little Goose.
Would it be better just to tack on, keep Granite operating until the end of December 2 and do that other half?
We're looking also at time involved to get, work done.
Well, but this could be a do out though, Greg. What, are you asking to put that 2 weeks at the back end rather than the front end?
Just wondering.
Yeah, it's something we could take out and go back to the project and ask about.
Mm-hmm. This was mentioned to the project that time wise.
I mean, Ann and Greg, it sounds like it's pretty necessary to do this. I guess we just got to figure out a way to.
It would be nice to shorten it up as much as you can. I mean, buffering in a couple extra weeks just in case, kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't know if they're really buffering in the 2 extra weeks because they.
The only thing we could maybe talk about is if they didn't do. If we just did grading and they didn't do their underwater orifices, etc. So we'll get a lamprey update next meeting and they can talk to us about their time frame for doing their underwater orifices. And their little ramps, and then we will get the update for the grading. Because those are two separate contracts.
Yeah.
So the grading's being done with O&M money, the lamprey ramps, et cetera, are being done with Lamprey Accord and or CRFM. So
get the gradings done this year and put off the lamprey stuff until next month.
Possibly, if that would shave some time to try to keep it with more within the normal time period. I don't know if that's going to be true, though.
Right.
It may be that the gradings is why they're asking for the additional time.
If there's already the contract let or whatnot on this type of thing, time-wise, I would say for sure through on that. But they actually intended on doing that work entirely this winter, so it sounds like it's pretty much in place.
Yeah.
So.
Oh boy, we need to build another ladders in both of those projects.
There you go.
Yeah.
Except the cost these days for ladders is a little steep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, you want a little bit of price for the ladders, all right.
So, other than that, we'll come back with what Ann's writing up on this stuff next. Well,
put them up there, and then we're
going to
have to have the RSW operating when
they
fall back.
Well, maybe an idea.
And you leave the room and what happens? Just go away, Scott.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we're fine up to...
So we'll hear next time.
Yeah, but we're okay up to... Little Goose Dam and all the outages, the early outage of the Canary, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, it's not really an outage.
It's not an outage, but the early work, I mean.
Work over
the ladder.
Yeah.
A wetted ladder.
All right. Anything else on
winter
maintenance?
We're going to look for ways to reduce the time period of damage.
Yep.
Yeah.
So 3-2-8, I added a coordination of hydrophone removal at McNary. You want to talk about that now, or?
Sure. Good place to talk about it. So did you had a handout on that, didn't you, Greg?
I got a handout on that one also.
So people are, just as he's getting that out, that's the research project that's been looking at kelp fallbacks over the winter. And so it's not the equipment that was on trolley pipes or anything. It was put in by divers. And essentially, then, it means operating outside unit priority to take it off.
Ah.
Do you need one?
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, it's basically running out of unit priority to taking off the transducers. It's going to take approximately 4 days. They say about 3 transducers a day. It takes all day long to get that work done. The impacts on fish passage, you know, of course, is unit one's main float attraction down that way. It's just moving it upstream from there. There is some attraction through the other units that would be taken out, you know, two to four all the way up to the last unit, unit 14. It does provide some, but it's not much.
This is November 5th through the 9th.
Yeah, it's going to be done at that time of the year, later in the year. Fish passage issues, a little bit of attraction, that's about it, but we're down past the main runs of fish at that time. We're in November, first part of November at that time. So
everybody's seen this already, Greg? Did you email us out, or is this the first time everybody's seen
this? This is the
first time. Oh, okay.
I haven't seen it.
No, this is the first time people seen it.
This is one I'm going to, after the meeting, I'll run up to Gary and show this to Gary and see what he thinks about it.
Certainly. Dates, remember this, on this one, it's
I think
November.
We should have a follow-up for the reps that aren't here to email out just to solicit any other feedback, but I think, just for FYI, this is the second year of study for this project, and the equipment was removed last year during September without anybody having a lot of heartburn. So
same units out?
No, because we've had different units that have been out for rewind this year. So we have 1 and 10 out this year. I think last year it was 3 and 8. But essentially, you know, this year's data was to try to break up any holes in the year before, and this is thought to have been the last year they were going to do this work. And one of the problems that we've had is researchers leaving equipment down there that we never get taken out. So, you know, we're trying to get them to get the stuff out now while it's still functional.
So why don't you guys put this together, send it out to FPOM for review and get comments.
Yep.
That's your due out, since you got it all ready to go. Because you definitely need Dave Wills.
Tom won't have read it, so we'll give him.
Tom won't have read this yet.
So this is McNary equipment removal, and
November.
We'll
just... Are you assuming that you made the standard, or would you remove it regardless if you made the standard or not?
This has nothing to do with performance standards.
Oh, it's hydroacoustic.
This is the hydroacoustic for the kelp fallback through the winter.
And if you don't take this stuff out, it'll just sit there and...
It'll just
be... Right, November 13, we were talking about doing a hydroacoustic study as well. Or just the RT.
I haven't been to your SRWG meetings, but my impression was that the hydroacoustics, this was going to be a second year and we were going to be done. So unless they put it on for a third.
It's kind of in limbo right now. They're talking about doing a synthesis and we're kind of pushing for some more data than that.
But even if you did another study next year, you still need to take the equipment out, send it in and get it recalibrated so that you get where it was at the end of the season and where it was at the beginning of the season, just so that your data is good.
Okay. Yeah, I'll bring those two issues up with Gary and see what he says after.
Okay, yeah. So some feedback.
Okay, so let's jump into, well, John's on his way over, so when he does get here, it's his birthday, which...
Are we going to sing happy birthday or something?
You can start that one, and I'll chime in my little tenor voice. So let's do the RCC update first. RCC.
Those are done.
Wake up.
All right.
That's best time of the year for your report.
All right, so currently at Lower Granite, inflows of 19.8, forecasted in 5 days to be around 21.2, and 10 days out, down slightly to 20.3. So holding steady, right around 20. McNary currently at 112.5, forecasted 5 days out, which is the 17th of September, to be at 92. And 10 days out, up to 110. That's on the 22nd. And then Bonneville currently at 113, 5 days out, right around 92, and 10 days out, right around 110. So same as McNary. So I'm not sure what that spike is looking at, but I think it might pick up a little bit towards the last week of September.
Less selling power.
Yeah.
Any questions for RCC? Okay, we 3-5, we already talked about the avian hazing and gulls, so how about Bonneville's updates? Anything?
I do have a few things.
Okay.
At Bonneville Dam, the 115 kV line has been downrated from 224 megawatts to 150 during the summer, so we're asking the Bonneville project to put more units on the 230 line. We're going to see if that can happen. If not, then we may have more spill in the higher flow periods. Right now there's
for perpetual?
Yeah, until we reconductor the line from Bonneville to Hood River. It originally was copper. They replaced it about 7 years ago, and they put in too small of aluminum. And so they found out that there's a contingency arrangement that you don't have enough capacity on that line. So they've derated the line. So it's for a long, long time. The other issue is have a request from transmissions to do a month-long outage at Low Mo, and they asked what's the best month in 2014 or 15. They want to reconductor the line between the powerhouse and the substation.
What's the best month?
Yeah.
December?
Right. So it's another one of those, wow, nice outage.
Yeah.
So at some point, hopefully, maybe someday we'll get a second line built into some of those three plants that only have single lines. Yeah, exactly. But we're going to try to make another run at that. But in the meantime, you're saying in-water work periods, you're voting for that, Trevor?
Yeah, that's my vote. Mm-hmm.
They'll love working in the middle of the winter at Loma.
Well, when else do you propose to go?
James is here. What does that do? If your plant's down, what does that do to being able to do the normal maintenance that we would otherwise do the in-water during the in-water work? I guess just is there...
Probably doesn't matter.
No, we'd run 5-speed, no load.
Right.
And we'd have to spill.
Right.
Okay. You know.
Okay. Just ask it. Just look at the whole scenario rather than...
When are we looking at doing this?
2014
or 2015. I'll send you the email. They're just fishing around for a date to do it. The current line doesn't, the spare parts don't exist anymore. So if it failed, they don't have parts for it.
I've heard that. A lot of the parts don't stand.
The company went out of business. They had the dampers.
We can talk offline, but we've got a 5-year maintenance schedule and that, and we can look at impact. So, you know, what we're doing and capital improvements and.
Sure.
Make sure that we don't have anything that's going to cause us any heartache.
Sure. Yeah, more to come on this, but I just wanted to surface that it's out there.
Okay.
Only Lomo?
I asked if the same lines exist at the Lower Grand and Little Goose, and they're going to get back to me on that.
Okay. So, Scott, would this be a full month long and basically no units available?
That's speed, no load, one unit.
So, I mean, if it's, you know, you have juvenile passage, that'd be okay, but adult passage is not favorable. So, if you pick a period when there's not any adults or very few adults coming up, but some juveniles.
Well, my guess is you don't want probably April, May, June, July, August, September, maybe starting the end of October, November.
November.
This is one of those things that I'm.
You might be able, I have to think about March. You might be able to weasel March, maybe.
Yeah, it depends on the flow year. You know, if you're up there at 80K, do you want to spill the whole thing? You know?
No. You haven't had 80K much in a while.
We did.
3 years ago.
Yeah. So it's...
Okay.
But if Noah ever wanted to put a request in their bio for a second line, you'd...
Let me see here. So
little
to
hints.
Help fish out, we should put a second line in a low mo. What's the mileage benefit on that?
You don't run speed, don't load for a month.
Yep. And when I do double tests, it makes it easier. There's less plant outages. There's more reliability. There's plenty of benefits there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll say plenty, but there's some. There's an ever-increasing list of things to add to the next buyout. Yes. Because we're doing so well, you know, once we've got it to buy it on.
We are.
That's all I got for updates.
All right, well, let's roll you right into double testing it, Granite.
Well, I'm not exactly sure why that's on there, other than I asked if we can make sure we coordinate well as to when the double testing would be and what frequency and do like we're talking about these things. So let's make sure we plan it well.
I have a list of every one of our plants when they plan on doing double testing for the next 5 years.
Perfect. And there was double testing and there was a certification.
WEC-NERC.
The WEC-NERC, now that's a different story.
It's a different story, but that was kind of what spurred this whole thing. Yeah. Is we have all these outages that need us having
and
that we need to start coordinating better with.
Our people that are doing the WEC-NERC stuff are trying to get better educated on that right now themselves, too, yeah. Indeed. And even in-house certification of our own people, instead of having to send it out by contract.
Perfect, but...
Yeah,
but it seems like that's a real impact. There is another overall issue out there that something I'm trying to run to ground is on units 11 at Bonneville and almost the entire power set at Dallas. They're out of their certification is run out on something for WEC, and so we're trying to get a. They technically aren't supposed to be running. I guess.
I think we have that on the Snake at a couple of places too. Maybe Granite.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if there's any.
Yeah, Granite. We were going to do a test in August, but they got the WEC pushback. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so what had happened is they said they came and asked me, "Do you mind if we don't run unit 11 until 2014? Because it's not approved at the moment, or doesn't have the paperwork
be
right."
So
I thought you guys would like me to say no. We would like to run it.
Well, if we can,
because I need my beers.
Yeah, that's the update. Did you want to bet on this one, Scott?
Yeah. So anyway, I'm trying to work in to get us a waiver for Unit 11 and all the Dalles. Right. For a couple of years. Yeah. So hopefully that will not be a non-issue and it'll go away for more to come.
Why do you need a waiver for the Dalles?
There's a with the
certification.
WEC-NERC certification. Turbines have to get certain things done to them at certain, like every 5 years.
5 years.
And so Unit 11, since it was out for 4 years, they didn't do the test on it because they couldn't run it. And so when they started running it, they go, hey, certification's run out. And same with something at the Dells, they seem to have forgotten to do it all. Or still.
Bob, what are you doing up there?
To the hurt of that one.
So that means we're going to end up doing all that stuff right in the middle of fish passage season.
I don't know.
That's been how it's been happening. I think that's what he's asking for, is that we try to, we'll try to write it into the fish passage plan better for 13 so that it's not a surprise. I think that's kind of what we're hoping.
That's my point.
We're
going
to get a waiver, though.
Well, I hope to get a waiver because I need to run them. So there's more to come on that one, but it's also quite the surprise.
And you actually, Byrne had their WEC-NERC guy at the last meeting. You weren't here, so people are a little more familiar with what.
No, I made that one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little more familiar, but it is growing. The constraints are growing. We got to go sit through a presentation at Dimmer yesterday, so that was kind of fun too. But there's more and more and more and more constraints being invented every time we have a major outage.
All right.
Watch him. Yeah, I mean, more stuff is gonna be. It's going to start crashing with what we want to do.
Okay, that's a good introduction.
Adult fish trap operations, you want to move into that?
I'm going to jump back up to 3.3, Fitterwig updates. As far as there's a John Day PNNL hydrophone removal, which is just what you were talking about at McNary. And then there's the Dalles Lamprey night test, so... Meryl, you want to talk to the PNL hydrophone removal?
Oh,
3.3.1.
Yeah, the point of this is that Bay 2 needs to be shut down for that day because of the boat safety requirements. They're going to be doing boat work in the fore bay. So, and it speeds up the work if the entire spillway is taken out all at once. we can probably do it in one day, and just that's going to be the next subject later on, but Bay 2 appears to be kind of mute point now because there is no fish going through the North Fishway anyway, even with Bay 2, so...
So the FPP said that it was open, that you spill through Bay 2 through November 30th?
It's
so you'll probably need a teletype for that.
So it's part of the FPPs, they don't need a teletype.
No, to shut it off for the day.
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
We can. And we substitute with the adjacent, which is... Oh, I'm sorry. No, this is the different thing.
This is shutting it off completely.
No, it's complete shutters. Okay, thank you.
So what's the issue? What's your thoughts on the no passing?
Oh, that's what we're going to be talking about that.
Oh, you're going to be talking about that?
Later. We have an agenda item.
Okay.
Here's Judy.
It's the birthday candle for you.
Happy birthday, boys.
Happy birthday to you.
Come on, stand up.
Happy birthday to
Johnny.
It's very nice of you all.
Happy birthday to you.
Speech.
Yes.
Happy to be here. Continue on.
Big 5-0.
Oh, man. Lucky you. Okay, so back to our conversation on spillway 2 closure and fish passage. We're going to talk about that later on the agenda, so let's do the lamprey night test at the Dalles. Lower entrance weirs, lower velocity.
Okay.
What do you got there, Mr.
This,
Bob?
I don't know if you want to jump in on this, Nathan, but as one of the improvements or on the list of improvements for our lamprey and passage, one of the potential changes in operation is to reduce flow coming out of the entrance at night. And we need to know if that is going to happen so we can actually start working towards programming some kind of system, PLC, or figuring out if it has to be, if it's backing off the turbines or lowering the entrance weirs or whatever it is. At some point, we're going to need to know so we can plan ahead and actually work on this. So I guess the biggest question is where's it at in the coordination process? Do you know?
I do not. Okay. Not a good source, sir.
Is that backing off the turbines and bolt ladders?
Potentially, yeah.
What time of year? Supposed to be all year, or are we
that I don't know either.
Because honestly, I would probably say I wouldn't worry about the north with still the way it is. I don't think you're going to see the map, right? I think the south and the east is probably most likely. Okay. Do we have a proposal? Is there a proposal? It's a Lamprey task group. What we're doing is probably with what you're saying.
The only place I've seen it is on a list, and so I don't know how far that recommendation has gone.
So there's a couple
emails.
I'm
mainly
about
just trying to find out what's happening.
Just internally, got emails going around about this. Sean didn't kind of reply to you about this in general or specific.
Well, it sounds like it's something to be brought here. I mean, is that something that we can actually, or that we're looking at testing?
That's the latter. I think that we need to have. I mean, we could have figured this out earlier.
Right.
Okay.
Am I getting ahead of myself on this one then?
Proposing there was another option rather than backing off fish units, you could lower the weirs instead. So whichever way we want to go, they need to know, because if it's lowering the weirs, you could program it.
Exactly.
So
she said.
You need to meet. Tammy and Bob need to meet with the Lamprey Task Group and talk about this and come up with some kind of...
We'll figure out what their evaluation is for you.
Whatever the operation is, and bring it back.
Can they give us an update when they give the update next month?
Yeah. Part of the Lamprey update. I love this.
Boy, that's becoming a big thing.
Well, it's an important issue.
All right.
Right?
Yes.
Because we went down that path also with Jerry with the
Lamprey
stuff there.
Yeah, we'll go through it again for you, Tom, just so you can really get the point across here on the lack of good coordination from the Lamprey task group back to FPOM on some of the design changes they want to implement.
There's some core people on that, too. You might want to talk to them. Because last time I checked, I don't think you guys let us out there with hacksaws and let us go modify things too easily. So
Well, I think the point we wanted to make is that there seemed to be a preference to try to keep things out of some of the standard forums because there was people felt that they could make progress quicker by not letting everyone have their say. This is payback from the last meeting.
Look what I started.
Payback. I don't think this is really my coordination issue. Last time I checked, this is a core process, so I think you hold the mirror up a little bit and talk to yourself a few bits.
Well, what we're asking for is stronger communication. Yeah.
Spiraling.
We already went over this, and it is the Corps' responsibility to be coordinating within our own agency and then bring it through the task group.
You could pay me as a facilitator, I could do that.
Yeah.
You're
a terrible facilitator.
Oh, no, I've never been a facilitator.
You're a dictator.
Facilitator, dictator, there's a difference.
We're now going to move on to number 5. John, do you have any updates on your birthday?
Actually, I
research?
The B2AWS trash rate.
Is that on here?
Does that fit in here?
No, because it's under Fitterwig.
Okay, so that's a Fitterwig update that you need to bring to the table right now.
Okay. Met with the B2AWS trash rate team, and as far as improvements go, we're looking at plans and specs by end of July 13, and it's a pretty aggressive schedule. So we're building off the 2001 DDR with new information about Lamprey, trying to make it a Lamprey-friendly system as well. And the coordination component of it, that at the 60 and 90% DDR is what the team is thinking for sending that out to the agencies for review. We don't believe we'll have enough at the 30% to make it worth it. And then Fitterwig discussion, of course.
In conjunction with that, dredging this year at Bonneville?
Yes.
Done? Going to be done?
November. Yes,
that's in progress, I believe.
Soon.
So when do we expect the 60% then?
60%
in the spring?
Beginning of the year, 13.
Are you planning to have a brainstorming session sometime?
Yeah, bitter wage discussions.
Excellent. All right. Nice. So just the anything else?
I hope you're talking about the AFF sometime.
That's at the end of the schedule.
It's on.
I'm happy to talk about it now, though.
No, let's wait.
It's fast.
Let's wait.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you get a meeting?
All right, now we can go to number 5. The trap operations transported granite.
Don't trap operations. There's two quick little summary paragraphs of what's going on out there right now at the adult fish trap at Granite Dam. They're starting to trap fall Chinook, as it shows there, and they're doing good finally if they got their permit to trap.
So can you update on the AquaS 20E issue out there? Do you know anything about that?
No, I do not. Is that what we're...
The what?
It's the anesthesia that they're using eugenol or something like that, and one of the tribes was pretty hard for them to use the new INAD AquaS 20E anesthesia that's approved under the FDA for zero withdrawal.
No one's using that up there at the trap?
Well, they looked into it and found out that the cost was like... They diluted to 10% of what the concentration of eugenol is, and then they charge 10 times as much. So it's like $200 a liter, so their cost would go up about $90,000 to use it. But at the same time, the tribe was pressuring them to use it, so I just didn't know if maybe you guys had that.
I don't have another update on that.
I don't think we were in the loop on that.
Yeah.
And it might be that we never were, because the reason you guys were using eugenol is that the tribe sued you back about 10 years ago.
Right.
And we were outside the loop on that. So, I mean, essentially, you know, the process is that you guys have to issue a permit to whoever's doing the handling.
Uh-huh.
So you're probably handling.
We issue a permit to ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, maybe that would be a good update for the group here to be aware of.
Yeah,
so I don't know who we might have
bring
that.
Well, if somebody doesn't know, I mean, there's there was a withdrawal issue. A clove oil wasn't approved, and that was tested a million times, and it's a carcinogen. And Aquash 20E is, I guess, diluted enough, or you know, that they're able to give zero withdrawal approval for it, as long as you're doing research and provide some information to the process. So now researchers can go and buy this product and use it safely on salmon legally. For people to consume these fish after they've been anesthetized with this product immediately. And so that's kind of a breakthrough that we haven't had in a long time, which is a good thing. But the problem is that it's very, very expensive. And so that's kind of led things to some researchers. So we're trying to work through that right now. But it could be good in the future. I think as they, you know, as it goes through the process and it gets approved, the cost will go down, especially if other people start to manufacture it.
So maybe out at SRWG, when you're talking about any projects that would be using anesthesia, you could kind of coalesce them into putting it into their experimental design, and hence their...
Because there's the, there's an issues at the other projects on what anesthetic to use.
Right, but if it's 10 times more expensive...
I know, that's the only problem, but... Sooner or later, maybe the cost will go down. There's also a discharge issue, too.
And then we can buy it from France.
So that's the
it's
thing.
It's just cutting into the amount of research you're going to do is essentially
sure,
what it's doing.
If it's 10 times more, it's definitely going to be an impact of something.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be, absolutely.
So who's going to report out on the next F-bomb with the what they're using?
Well, who do you think would be best? Who could we contact to give kind of an...
Don't worry about it unless anybody else wants to know. I can find out internally.
Yeah.
I was just curious if you guys... Because you guys said something about permitting, so I figured that was a part of it.
Well, just from an information standpoint, it might be nice that everybody had an awareness of the two two things that are out there and the cost differences. So who would we go to
Doug Marsh would know.
Doug Marsh or even Darren up there, too.
Yeah, Darren Ogden.
But...
So why don't we have that as a do-out that we get either Darren or...
That would be just kind of good information to get out there.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Is that it on that?
That's it.
Yep. Next is an avian data presentation by Mr. Zorch. What do you got there? You got an overhead thing going on here?
I've got a power plant.
5 minute break.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, let's take a break while he's setting himself up over there.
5 minute.
Have some goodies there, Mr. John. Tammy went crazy.
Tammy has lots of goodies over there.
Baked like never before.
Really? What a deal.
Delicious. Never before. You.
I don't know about that either.
Mr. Khan, how you been? I'm on my own, so I gotta drop off, pick up.
That's Tuesday and Tuesday tomorrow. Yeah, full service tomorrow as well. And I got to go soccer tonight, so and the worst thing is, it's still better than summer.
I mean, supposed to realize state position, lunch, and everything else. It tends to be
coach soccer. Run faster. Run.
Remember from this meeting, and he always knew who the cool thing was.
I've got that.
Hey, Doug, thanks for those photos.
Yeah.
throwing out some. Usually they're bugling, you can find them. But usually there's a big hole between 20 cows. So they're actually close to them. You're getting close to them now. They can bust them. It's all over.
I mean, all the rut really does is these bucks are out. That's the one that's all the good. At least they're out in winter.
They're not daylight.
Yeah. They're not hunkered down some hidey hole. It's just like
they really moved on and happened.
Trails everywhere.
Yeah, we're going to have a problem. Let's go pound the trail a
little. Cool. You got to play on the water this summer?
Awesome. Not much. My friend has a kiteboard. Let's go take it out. It was fun. And it's so much nicer than just the equipment wise. Going outside, it's unstringing the sail is definitely a little more. That takes a little more time.
That's the one advantage I've seen.
More cumbersome here, but it's a lot easier to put it out. There's not so much prep. I should say the prep is not quite so
We
did this summer a couple times. My friend took his sailboard up and that kind of stuff. Went to the lakes. Went out there and he showed me a few things. So I was able to get up a little bit and climb along for a little bit. But my sail control was so hard. Just trying to make my turn.
Tom, you got some fish? Got some fish this year.
Oh, dude, I went to Canada. Of course I got fish.
Yeah,
I went to fish my uncle. Fish my uncle off the west coast of Vancouver. Came back for cooler fall. Then one of my son's buddies and his dad's buddies says, hey, you guys want to go fish halibut?
Okay.
First fish, 75 pounds. I was like, what the hell? Where is this coming from? I know, we're going, what the hell?
So we got like 6 halibut that day, and then tuna, which I've been
in where the boats were, so we were out jigging for 2 minutes, and we got like 6 or 7 tuna. So I got about 10 pounds. I got 10 pounds of tuna on the way right now. It was awesome, just flicking up with the tuna and being like,
really?
It's awesome. No, it's Garibaldi. Yeah, we came back from Canada. Even though I did see a sunfish off of Vancouver, which I thought was a little goofy. Like, what the hell is a sunfish doing up here? Yeah, it's just like so I just wrote it. Yeah, we see it on occasion. Yeah, so we're going to go some fish there, then I went out and used trout fish.
So, Bern, are we about ready to break?
As soon as Trevor gets back.
Oh.
You sure, what did you do? Limit out like an hour?
Since it's only like, what, 2 salmon now?
It's like 2 salmon in 2 hours. Yeah.
I was in the midst of 400 of the guy moves.
Yeah. Yeah, Louie? Thank you.
Yeah, they don't come back from break, huh?
20, yeah.
Especially when you say a 5 minute break.
Yeah, I know.
That was good. Cooked it right up. Actually had some sashimi right off the bat as soon as I got home.
Thank you.
All right, well, let's get started.
This is a small agenda.
They're here. They're here.
I got three.
Can you hear? Still have 125 a pound.
Can you read my lips?
What? You can't get it.
He'll pick up a cigarette. He'll pick up a say when I say it. If anybody says anything back,
if you go,
he's gonna go follow you on deaf ears.
$10.
He's gonna go for sign language.
All right, so we're at the avian presentation point of the agenda. So Nathan has come in from the field unit to give his latest and greatest.
So previous up on there's some conversations specifically surrounding McNair Dam and possible actions there to try to remediate bird issues. I was asked to give an update, so it's going to be start very broad and then get very focused. I'm going to talk about where we're at currently in the avian monitoring program, kind of dams component, and then look at some slides kind of comparing John Day and the Dow. So one at John Day, we've added a large avian line array. And then McNary, where currently there's a small array, but there's potential to improve or change or whatever. For the more common species at the projects, mostly we deal with gulls, which is the lower left corner. On the right, that's a double crested cormorant, pelican upper right, and on the left is a tern. Fishing bird colonies throughout the basin. In general, as far as the core is concerned, we sort of divide these between the estuary, to the left of the yellow line, and the inland portion to the right. And OSU is estimating about 100,000 fish-eating birds in the Columbia Basin. It's just a sketch of how things are organized, estuary versus inland. The estuary portion is managed by Portland District, inland by Walla Walla. There's a dam-based component of that, and also the Inland Avian Management Plan that looks at core lands away from the projects where birds might be nesting. And you can see kind of what goes on there. At the dams, we do passive and active hazing, so passive deterrents are avian lines. Active deterrents are USDA folks firing off pyrotechnics to scare the birds away. At the other lands, they're talking about a variety of actions, and they're working through a huge process there to kind of come up with what they're going to do. In general, it will probably be something like reducing habitat and then long-term monitoring to make sure that those bird levels don't pop back up. This group's very familiar with the BIOP requirements. I would just kind of restate that we do have these needs at the bottom, deterrent evaluation, long-term monitoring, and prioritizing our spending. And I have them sort of listed hierarchically here. That's not really how it looks. It's really much more of a circle where we want to do all those things and they feed back into each other. So there's a lot of connectedness there. Long-term monitoring provides good information. Unfortunately, a lot of the projects for a long time, people have been counting birds, but in different ways. Sometimes with a behavioral component, so was the bird actively foraging? Were they roosting? Sometimes without. So while we have a lot of information about birds in both districts, it's been done a little bit differently. So there's been a request to try to standardize these counts and also bring them together and make sense of it so that at FPOM meetings we can talk about what's going on. This is just an example of the Dalles and John Day, two projects that were linked, and because of that they had some fairly common methods for counting birds and what that looked like through time. We have focus studies that have taken place with these two projects as well, and this is sort of the types of information we have. It's sort of general counts of projects, occasionally these very focused studies. The focus studies are great because they give us detailed information. In this case, it's fish consumption, not just bird counts. And we see some big reductions there at John Day and the Dalles as well. The big change between 2009 and 2010 was the large avian lion array that Miro now has in his backyard. This is a look at the funding that goes on. Specifically, we have active hazing on the left and the passive deterrence on the right, so the wires are passive. It's quite a bit of money that we spend, you know, trying to dissuade birds from predating at the projects. FY13 is up there, but that's just an estimate that the bios gave me of kind of what they think might happen. So it's take that with a grain of salt, and then it's just something that to give you a sense of the money we spend, and just sort of, in a sense, what that can get you. So my big push this year has been to standardize the monitoring program at the eight main core dams. To do that, we've developed this avian data portal. We've developed protocols for counting birds and trained people to do that, and then giving them a way to report that information so they can log in, input their data here. We've had fairly good participation from the projects. We've over 12,000 records have been collected since the beginning of the season. It's going pretty well that way. The second part of this is the analysis and reporting. So not only are we collecting the information in a similar way, we're analyzing it in a similar way. And that's really important because you guys know there's a lot of ways you can slice and dice information. At least if we're doing it the same way, we're trying to get apples to apples comparisons. The big picture being through time, you know, kind of how these things are moving up or down. But with the upside of having more in-season information that we can pass to managers. So what we're looking at here is all locations, all species, all zones, all behaviors from the 9th to the 16th of August, so just 9th out of a week. And you can see the legend on the right side. So primarily, we've got a lot of resting birds. You know, this was a couple weeks ago. There's also broader stroke analysis that can be done. This gives us a shot from April to the end of August, where the birds were at and what those behaviors are, so it's kind of broken down. Today we're talking about John Day and McNary quite a bit, so we're going to continue to focus on that.
So I can't read the legend from back here. What's the green and brown?
So the green is foraging and the brown is resting. There's that kind of mustard color that's flyby.
Okay.
And this is just looking at means through the whole season. So this is really kind of lumping a lot of stuff together. Is it your birthday today, Bern, or was that John's birthday?
John's, but I'm a lot older than John.
get the glasses out.
These are for close-ups.
So mean daily counts of foraging birds at the projects. Caskey and Turns were identified, the benefit analysis done by OSU as being an important species to look at when trying to benefit salmon.
That's a little better for me.
At most of our projects, we don't see a lot of Caskey and Turns. They do show up, but we don't see a lot. We do see a lot of gold, I mentioned this earlier. And again, these are mean daily counts of foraging birds. And you can see some patterns taking place through time here. This is McNary, John Day, and the Dalles.
Nathan, what year is this?
This is this season.
Okay.
Any questions? I know this is kind of a lot to take in, so I just want to leave that up there for a second.
Very good.
So, you know, it would be interesting to see that somehow plotted with the amount of flow in the river over the years to see how well, you know, the time frame versus flow in the river. Because, you know, annually, obviously, flow in the river changes.
Sure.
And
I do plot that later in some detail, just as an example.
Okay.
But I think you're hitting on some important points. And the information I'm showing you here is specific accounts of birds at the project. But there's a lot of variables that drive that. And ultimately, probably most of them are outside of our control. I think flow is a good example of that. So this is a map of McNairy. Speaking of flow, it comes from the Fore Bay, travels downriver. This is the current avian line array from the powerhouse side, SW spillway. And JFOF is the juvenile fish outfall. That's approximate location this picture was taken prior to it being in place. That's important because when I show you this graph, FB1 and JFOF now mean something, maybe. So again, April to the end of July. Here's another way to look at the data where it's not quite as, I guess, together. Through time is important. Part of the importance of this graph is just to really display the highly dynamic nature of bird predation, bird behavior at the projects. One commonality you'll see in almost every project is that this period right here, generally May, we tend to see a lot of foraging gulls project. And that's a combination of the synchronicity of their breeding and nesting times, so they're colonial nesting birds, and they have a certain pattern and rhythm to that, and it's timed as well to when the food is there, right? So the birds are probably not going to be there when the food's there. So they're hungry, they have chicks to feed, and there's food available. It's a slightly different way to present the same information. This is a stacked line graph, and this is by zones. So I didn't have exact apples to apples for previous years. These are by behavior, and the 0 to 500 is our axis. I try to keep the axis constant at least. This is by location. Because they're stacked, if you look at that top line, you're kind of seeing what's going on. So last year, we topped out around a couple hundred birds. This year, we got higher, but if you just look at foraging birds, we're right about 250. Oops. I grabbed some of these this morning from some previous reports, so how does that sort of compare to John Day? Black is our goals, and here's our peak right here, and this is our town over here. 300 in general, you know, 150 or so. So it's just a smolt out migration and the lamprey kind of out migration. This was the first year we saw a really high correlation there. John Day in 2010, oops. There's our smolt, there's our lamprey. Again, those lamprey are just the most important thing these days.
Tasty nuggets.
Yeah, they really like lamprey. I mean, there's an equivocal attraction for them. It's much more than a salmon. Salmon, they don't really get too hot about.
Be a tossed turn in that curve.
So I talked about this a little bit earlier. So, you know, what was the difference between 09 and 010? John Day specifically saw a lot of animals. And in 10, we didn't see as many animals. Now, I'm only showing you the avian line array, but what goes along with this was two boat hazing shifts a day, so 8 hours, 8 hours, daylight hours, guys were in boats shooting off pyro. At these big projects, cannot really effectively reach the animals by firing pyrotechnics from the shore. You're shooting off bottle rockets at them, or screamer shells, or cracker shells. If you're on the face of the dam, you can't really reach these areas. It's just too big. The boat hazing has been effective, but it's expensive, and there's a danger level involved there, too. You now have two guys in a boat operating this thing, you know, over long periods of time.
So when it's windy, in particular, some days are just not even feasible.
Right. Again, goals of John Day, it's 2011. And just notice that now this axis has changed, so that's 45 over here. Oh, I'm sorry. 45 over here as well. It's pretty moderate, and I thought this was the graph with flows, and it's not. I don't have flows. Gary was really interested in kind of looking at John Day is a project that had a lot of birds. We then built this avian line array and spent lots of money on hazing. Bird numbers went down. What about McNairy? Kind of how does that compare? And I hope, Gary, that this really gets to the heart of the matter right here. several years. John Dan on the left, McNary on the right. Notice the asterisks in 2010. I didn't have a complete data set. Working to try to get that.
So the only question I have, and this kind of goes back to some other slides where you were breaking up foraging and resting, what kind of relationship or have you analyzed for a relationship between the amount of resting birds and or locations for resting versus the overall quantity of foraging birds? So as you would remove the resting areas, can you drive down the number of foraging birds at the same time? That can be a take-home. I just throw that out there as a curiosity because it's another way for some potential control.
I see the benefit I see there is that flying is really expensive. So to be foraging and flying at the same time costs a lot of energy. You're much better off if you can hammer a few fish, rest and digest, go back and hammer fish.
Right.
The thought of trying to take away all loafing zones from these animals...
Yeah.
Probably not very realistic because they can loaf on land. They can sit on the side of the beach and loaf. It's more a little more dangerous maybe because of the, now they can be predated upon potentially.
But they use more energy to go to the loafing sites. If you in the case of McNary, when we went to the propane cannons, we did remove a fair amount of the resting spots very close to the spillway. So hence it was where my question came from a little bit. So over time, does that cascade out to be helping with the issue?
I think you have to, the case of potholes, terns are taking about 12% of the upper river steelhead, and they're flying 32 to 35 miles to do that. So, these birds are feeding their young as well, and they're not anywhere near the dam. So, you may get at some of the birds that are just young birds and loafing birds, but the birds that are
I think there's certain positive feedback, so kind of birds beget birds kind of a situation. The more animals you have in an area, the more animals can stop and check out to see what's going on.
They'll find a place to sit somewhere. That's a big nap lock.
So, then the other interesting analysis would be the one that I think a lot of the fisheries managers have been bringing to the table in terms of keeping fish in river, but as we have more fish in river, the number of birds and their ability to predate, percentage-wise and whatnot, what's that relationship? So, we have more, during our peak migration, we have more fish in river, and hence we might expect that there'd be more birds for that limited two-week time frame, but is their impact really any greater, or is it just more concentrated, I guess would be my question.
I've got two more slides, and then I can come back to that a little bit.
Okay.
Does anyone else have any other questions about this slide before I... So I've shown lots of these pictures, and I thought I would just go back and get a nice fish passage plan diagram that's a little simpler and more straightforward. One of the things that I pictured didn't show was how large that wing wall is downstream from McNary. And so one potential, if you wanted to try to put some lines in there and areas would be good. In general, here's our spillway here, and the birds are working kind of below the area of the white water in the spillway. There's potential to cover part of that area currently that would impact barking operations. And so this is something that Carl Duggar and Bobby talked about, Gary's talked about, and I'm sure you're familiar with the idea. I personally just wasn't, so I guess maybe that's part of the slide. This is a really long spill wall, and there's potential for it. I don't know how realistic it is. It could be pie in the sky.
It's a money thing.
Yeah.
Scott?
So project biologists provide me feedback for the presentations as well, and this is something that they've given to me earlier. We know that there is expressed interest in the region to continue hazing at current levels, some of those dollar signs I showed you before. But is that really sustainable under the forecasted O&M budgets? Question mark. The benefits of hazing versus the political reality. So some of those focus studies we did, when we looked at a portion of the total run that could have been impacted, not necessarily that large. Here's my little graphic on the side. On the bottom, that's a million. And on the top, that's one. So if we have 30 to 40 million fish coming through, and of those, 0.02 to 0.27% is paid on. I'm going to convert that to numbers. The reality is that that also includes fish that could have been more abundant anyway, right? So we do consumption estimates, not predation estimates. These fish are feeding below a hydro project. we understand to harm some fish on the way through anyway, so most fish die. The gulls will probably pick those up, no problem as well. So that's just kind of remember that that's sort of lumped in this. And of course, there's a maintenance cost of these extensive rays. This is something that Miro, you know, is looking down the road. What happens when we have to start doing more maintenance to these projects? You know, it's a system. You know, the thing he's got down there is not small. Right now, it's pretty low because it's new. But we all know that as things age, eventually maintenance starts catching up with us. One of the big unknowns is, you know, we did use this synthetic plasma line. It's the strongest per weight line that they could find, and it's pretty high-tech stuff. People have been pretty impressed by it. It's wearing pretty good so far. It's got a great covering to prevent UV damage. We all know what John Day's like. It's super windy, hot in the summer, and cold in the winter, and you know, it's a little bit of an unknown as far as how well these things are going to weather the storm.
But there's going to be a high cost during the after the life expectancy of that material is reached, which is about 8 to 10 years, as I understand, and they will have to replace all 125 of them, hopefully not within 1 year, because that would also be difficult to do and expensive. All at once, if you spread it through a couple of few years, it would be much better.
How much at today's cost is it, what does a line run? So, I mean, and I obviously in 8 or 10 years...
It's probably the installation is going to be a little more expensive than the material is.
The material is quite expensive, too. I think it's like $5,000 per line.
Well...
I mean, $5,000, yeah.
Wow, 120 of them?
Get a backups of those 125 when they built them?
Store them in a dark shed.
Yeah.
Store them in a dark shed.
Perfect. And how are you getting replacement lines right now?
Man.
You have, what, three?
We have some spare we have just procured, just used up some, we have some shorter ones, and again, as long as we have a few of them breaking every year, not too many, then we can handle it, but if we have a high number, again, a replacement at the end of their life expectancy.
And they need to be replaced by contract, right?
No, they can be replaced. Well, apparently, if your life expectancy probably will be smarter by contract, yes. We can do the emergency replacement. We don't have appropriate training yet for our structural crew to do it, but it's doable. The system is too new.
Maybe if all the dams do move over to that type of wire like yours, we can buy a common repair type system. God.
Well, I mean, one of the reasons to go to the more expensive synthetic line was the length of runs that they're trying to achieve. Most places, it's not necessary.
How
long is the runs at McNary? You know, from the guide walk to the powerhouse.
Yeah, I didn't have a.
How long is that?
How far that is?
It's probably a little shorter than.
Yeah, these are big projects. We're trying to expand the river. Then we have to go to some innovative solutions.
So it's not as far then, okay.
Yeah, but it's going to take that kind of line.
Yeah,
there's
a catch 22. If you use the steel, the core criteria requires so heavy gauge that actually when we had that type of grit in 2010, the lines were breaking on their own weight.
Yeah.
I
remember that.
Yeah, that was a total failure.
It's counterproductive.
Yeah, you walk around out there and watch out.
I had a question on your last slide.
Go ahead.
Forward slide. Yeah, so the estimate, is that an estimate of mortality?
But still.
That's consumption.
Okay, so it doesn't consider compensatory or anything. It's just picking up a fish
all together
alive.
Yeah, you're gonna see that. Pit tab recoveries have the same issue. Pretty much all the bird recoveries have a very similar issue.
Just to go back a little bit to you at the side of your John Day McNary, I'm sure you thought of it, but would have been able to look at the moving of birds because of the increase in lines and paving at John Day, and you can just move the birds either upstream or downstream?
Right, and that's a big reason there's been a push to try to standardize the canning program. The question is, are we just simply moving birds from one project to another? The answer is probably. But we don't really necessarily know without a more standardized monitoring system in place. So I can go back retrospectively where the projects have good data and make some of those kind of comparisons, just taking the data for what it is, which is what's available. I think the thing to remember, though, is just sort of the dynamic nature of birds in general. They're highly mobile, so yeah, they can easily move from one project to the next. And if they're going in the right direction, it probably doesn't cost them too much.
Are there good spots in between them that they might just be more instead?
Especially with gulls, because they're so omnivorous, they're not stuck to the river at all. They can rake cherry orchards, they go to the dump, they regularly do both. They can cruise through wheat fields and pick up mice that the combines kick out.
I think that's important to remember. They're really not targeting fish. I think earlier, before I was working here, longer I was under that impression, you know, within our discussions, we're thinking they... seagulls, they have to prefer fish, but they really don't. I think they're scavengers.
They
go
food.
For the easiest type of food.
Whatever's easiest they can get.
Do you have any other data on other birds similar? Is that going to get... Is that our next step? Like, whatever else is being recorded out at the projects, are we going to start seeing this kind of information?
You're talking pelicans or whatever?
Pelicans, cormorants,
sure.
I don't know. I mean, what do we got?
And I, you know, that's kind of the reason I did show this...
Oh, we do have original.
That.
I guess I just threw a couple of them up there. In general, the point to take away this whole thing is that it's really gulls that is our main issue.
It is.
At all the projects. I'm concerned about double-crested cormorants because we're currently in the process of reducing the nesting habitat in the estuary. And if those birds move upriver, we'll have some baseline data to possibly detect that. And that goes back to the movement question. Because this year I had 10 birds at one project and 100 at the other, and the next year it flips. Does that mean those birds move? Or even one day to the next?
Well, I think that depends on, I mean, have we seen Miller Brock's colony decline? I don't think we have yet.
No.
McNary seems to be increasing. I don't think they're coming from Miller Rocks. I think they're coming from the area, probably the islands downstream. There's several, colonies there. They're omnivorous, right, but they're going to go where they're predators. They'll go where the easiest food is. And if that's the dams, that's where they're going to be.
Well, but still, I want to see the relationship between what we think is being injured and is actually bird feed to begin with versus the estimated take and how that changes potentially with flows and or fish in river. Because if all we're doing is putting more fish in river, passing them through the dams and taking the same percent hit there at a specific dam and moving birds in, then maybe we don't have as much of an issue as I hear Gary shouting about here. So not just today, but at the last meeting, it's been elevated, you know, of the high need to do something immediately with
McNary. We've been through all this before. That's why there's lines at three of the dams. I just don't quite understand why all of a sudden McNary is, we don't need to do it. That doesn't make any sense to me.
McNary is not adverse to doing it.
And I don't think it's as big of a problem. You guys are all grousing about 3,000 yards or feet or whatever. You don't even, you have no plan. You don't know how far this is going to be. You don't know if you can attach to the outfall, which is halfway across the river. We haven't addressed the issue of barging yet or whether we need to get a barge in there. So I don't see any plan for implementation at this point. No engineers are looking at it. We have no PM on it.
And I think you've heard from SCT kind of their perspective, Randy's perspective. I think I shared that the last time because I had checked with him before the meeting, and basically Criffham had two things. One of them is that the transport issue needed to be resolved, and the second was that we needed to have performance standard testing data that showed that we weren't before. Both of those things needed some resolve before they would look seriously at, you know, kind of scoping out plans and specs, that type of thing. So that's just a little update on where we're at. And that's a little bit why I'm coming back now, just asking more questions, is just knowing that that's the scenario.
We're not going to get the compensatory issue resolved. We've been up and down that road several times. So you can ask the question. There's no answer at this point. We don't have it.
So performance standard data, I mean, we've seen LOMO and goose preliminary results already.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen those, but how are they?
Something up.
Yeah.
So I just wonder, I mean, I don't wonder if anybody's worked it up, if you guys have heard any grumblings of how soon you will see that data, at least preliminary data on McNary?
No, because they haven't, with operations, shared the little goose and LOMO data.
Okay.
So I guess we'll ask for that, but... So you want to let us know since you know whether are we meeting it at Goose and Lomo?
I do want to know at McNary. I mean, because then we could answer. I mean, you have the data. I mean, if it's pretty close. Like, it doesn't take that long worth of the data. We can answer that question pretty soon.
Last time I asked planning for that, they gave me the October time frame. So maybe by this time next month, we will have seen some preliminary. I don't know. Okay.
And we can talk transport, and then we could get this over with.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Well, and you also might want to talk to the Lamprey Task Group. They might have some concern about Lamprey. I'm sure someone might be worried about it.
Yeah. So
someone.
Maybe, yes, maybe we tap the Lamprey pot for some avian predation wires.
Or you basically just, SCT has extra funds this year. SCT's got extra funds this year. SCT's got plenty of money this year. Okay. They're scrambling to come up with silly things to do. So I would suggest that would be the place to go. I mean, we're putting boat safety devices in for RSWs. That's a great thing to do, but is that a higher priority than putting in wires at McNary? I would probably say no.
Well, you know, actually, so that's perspective. I get that from Fish, from the standpoint of dam operation. It's a large safety issue.
That is true, and that would be an O&M operation. That would not be CRFM. CRFM is a fish mitigation fund. Now, it makes sense to do it because if, God forbid, some yahoo decides to take his jet ski over the TSW, that's going to cause problems. But I'm saying if you have to prioritize the two, I would probably take Bird Wires and McNary this next year. Or you start looking at some of the other things that are on there and say, do we really need to do this?
I mean, if you look at the criteria, the boat barrier has no fish benefit.
So you guys need to argue that with SCT because that's really outside our scope here at FPOM. I mean, I don't vote, you know.
The point is that there could be money out there. You're saying there's no money, so we shouldn't even vote on this.
Well,
I think there is money.
Okay.
I think the FPOM should at least have a chance to say whether or not they think that the bird issue at McNary is something that needs to be dealt with, or we just continue firing
bullets,
cracker shots out in the, as best as we can and not be very effective, because it wasn't very effective last year. Of course, there wasn't anybody in the tail race even doing anything when I was there, but that's another issue.
Well, the other question is, are we going to go to boat hazing? Because that would probably work. That's very expensive.
Well, at least the wires.
Well, we're going to lethal take, hopefully. Which we.
Do you know how many years I've heard that? I'll believe it when I see a dead gull in the water. Until that time.
But well, you know, that's not going to go at all. Well. Hydraulically,
it's challenging.
It's a little different.
That TSW's in the middle there, it's going to be awful.
But going out for lethal take without doing the other things first won't fly. I mean, we've heard
other
that
things.
Several times. You need to apply as much non-lethal deterrent as you possibly can before going to lethal tank. So just relying on lethal tank has been shoved back at us from Fish and Wildlife Service several times.
Well, we will still have the hazing. I don't think we have no plans to implement boat hazing. What we wanted to do is stay
with
the hazing.
I'm saying that's my go back. If they can't put wires in, it's up with boat hazing.
Yeah. I mean, if you can, but boat hazing with lethal, this is going
to
happen without the wires already.
They got to do pyrotech. It's going to be crap.
I mean, we've already established the process at all these other dams, and say the area is somehow different just doesn't make sense.
Isn't there an RPA?
So what's our follow-up?
An RPA or something like that? About
there is an RPA.
I can't remember what that is. Could you put that in your next bio, maybe?
What's our follow-up on this item?
Well, I think the performance standard testing is the bottom line. If we're meeting performance standard testing, then how do you argue that we don't have adequate avian deterrence?
We could in the year like 12 and 11. I mean, those are pretty high quality.
It depends on the year.
Mother Nature probably helps out a lot more.
So to move on, I guess what we're hearing is that there might be surplus dollars. Is there any discussion going on about a raise at McNary?
There's no plans. So if there's no plans, there's nothing to fund from CRFM.
I was trying to establish here was, is there a problem?
Right.
Does FPOM see a problem and recommend that something be done? Then we can need to worry about after that who and what, how much, and that. But from this committee standpoint, do we see, based on the avian predation activity at these various dams, at McNary Dam, is there a similar level of problem that we've seen at the other dams that caused us to require wires, or at least ask for wires? Do we see that here?
Or does this is just kind of a wake-up call? Do we need to do a more detailed study there to get really better data, or I don't know?
Over again. I don't know. Got years and years and years of studies on this. That's not
okay.
Start over again. I mean, are those birds out
certainly
there
it looks
exercise?
Like the situation that you had at the other projects where wires solved the issue.
Or helped the issue. And I mean, these birds are not out there for exercise. They're eating just like they did at John Day and the Dalles. We've done those studies for years, I mean, for decades. Nathan's got the information. They're out there feeding on fish.
Right.
That's all there is to it.
So
and there's a lot of
Walla Walla's position right now is that they want their performance standard data before they go to the next level of looking at arrays.
That's their position, but I'm wondering
right.
what
as
is
far
F-bomb's
as F-bomb's position, what is your position?
Well, I think we need to at least investigate putting wires in.
Yeah.
I'd like to see at least have an engineering review and look
specs.
At how much it costs and where you'd put them and how you would do it. And get that done as soon as we possibly can.
How about CritFic? Where are you?
Yes.
You want an engineering review? What's your position on this?
Well, at the very least, we need to have. Why wouldn't we at least get alternatives put together and figure out what we're going to do? I mean, we've seen problems last year. I mean, we had lots of bird activity last year. And that was under super high flow conditions. You don't have Mother Nature helping us out, may not be quite so good.
Okay. Washington, do you have a position?
Typically, I can't take one, but I would tend to agree that.
Why couldn't you technically take one?
Because I'm not a policy person.
Mm-hmm.
Neither am I.
Well, just from my experience, I would. It seems like, exploring the options, not eliminating it's a possibility. If it works, and I know cost is a big factor in everything, but I tend to agree with this.
Okay, well, we need to get a hold of U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in Oregon, see where they're coming in at. And
Idaho.
EPA.
Got a position?
Not yet.
Trying to figure that.
Do you want to wait for performance standards?
Not a policy guy.
But I talked to Jason.
My boss?
Right.
You're talking to
your boss?
Way to go.
That's awesome. That's just awesome. How does that make you feel?
I love it.
Good trainer. What do you mean?
Huh? You trained him.
I was a good trainer.
Yes. He's your boss now?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that. Are you done up there?
Time
all
off.
Right, thanks. Okay, so we still have a lot of the agenda to cover, some ground here. I think we can do it if we just push through.
Cool. Let's deal with it.
Starting with, where are we?
Five, seven.
Six. Back to our agenda. Miro, North Fishway Dive.
All right, so
John Day,
let me
13th.
Present few facts pertaining to this issue in a broad sense, because it's a kind of difficult one. It may be what's meeting the eye. It's a little bit different from what it is. But anyway, John Day North Fishway, there's nothing wrong technically with the ladder. In fact, it has been better than ever, with three new AWS pumps available right now, and we're meeting the optimal entrance criteria. Now, in terms of the declining fish passage, it has started to occur approximately mid-August, I think, and has some data pertaining to this.
Yeah,
And then it really dropped after the 1st of September to almost
0%.
To essentially zero for Chinook and Coho, a little bit of steelhead, but it's almost non-existent.
What did you do?
No, that's what I'm just saying. Just wait. I have to continue. So now in our internal analysis, John Day Fisheries, which is my group, has already sent out the multi-year comparison of that passage during this period for the John Day North, 2009 through 2012. And the complicating factor is that last year, 2011, was significantly better than this year. However, 2010 was poor and kind of similar to this year.
Not as much. Although I
not
did the
as
same
much.
Analysis. I went through from 9 to 12.
Right.
And it's, this year is markedly
lower. Okay, so now to continue, from the tailways flow point of view, it seems that the fish are attracted by the powerhouse flow, which is on the south end, side of the river, and they have two good entrances to the John Day South. If they follow that flow from the powerhouse, which I think they make a decision about in that regard quite away from the dam. And now, to continue just before we start the discussion, unless we have RT evaluation, we want to really know if the fish are even approaching that side of the river or not, or if they're entering, or what the problem could be, if any.
Yeah.
I came up just talking to Bob on the way, and with kind of interesting proof we could do. Ultimate proof would be that there's nothing wrong technically with the John Day fishway at this point. To conduct an attraction test by adding a little bit more spill on that side of the river.
Cool.
Scott is next to me, open bay 2 and 3,
just
about 5K maybe each, 10,000K for 12 hours for one day, and I suspect the fish would come. But it's, all I'm saying is my point now, just to summarize what I have attempted to do, is that there's nothing wrong with the ladder, it's just the distribution of flow is such in a such way that and again, another argument for it, kind of the Dalles has similar, it's a completely different setup and configuration, but there's certain elements there which are similar in that sense that they don't have, because the fish are following the bulk of flow elsewhere, and they're missing
there's no additional attraction flow there, as there is.
But anyway, that's all I had to say, and it's up to you guys.
So do we have any outages at John Day? I know we were talking about some before.
No, in fact, we haven't had any outages. We had, we were lucky, by the way. We kind of survived the spring and summer in good shape. And since then, we have stabilized. And we haven't seen any problems with those new AWS pumps.
So no, I mean turbine units themselves. Main
units. Oh, turbine units.
Why would you think that would be?
Well, because the way John Day is, if you look at when the spill shuts off, I mean, you get some pretty odd eddies in there and stuff that go back and forth. And so if you had a certain number of units off or something, you'd create an eddy that's pushing fish over one side and not the other.
I don't think we've got any large blocks. Right?
Has there been a traction spill since the first?
Oh, yeah.
No change in that.
No.
No change in the amount of flow. You've met the head requirements and the depth requirements and the
only thing we changed was
the entrance rear is fixed.
So
there's no moving parts now.
Oh, that's right.
It's a new one, Again,
I think that's the problem. I think that's the issue actually. You've got a lot of stuff out there, and that may be causing an avoidance at this point. It just hasn't seasoned. But I think there's definitely an issue. I mean, I don't see any difference in the project operations in general from other years.
Sure.
Yet this year, as soon as the spill shut off, Chinook quit moving, period, on the north side. Never seen that before. So all I can say is that either they don't like that what we've done over there, or that there's still fresh paint, fresh concrete, fresh
oil and grease and stuff, and there's just there's enough that
it's too bad, yeah.
But there's plenty of fish. I mean, the thing is, too, you look back across the years, there are enough fish this year. There's, it's not like, well, this year's got a lot fewer fish, so yes. Nobody's finding
yeah,
any interest.
They're going fine for the John Day South, they're just not going for the North.
Right, so there's a definite avoidance.
So do we wait another year and see if it was sent in oil and see if it cures?
Well, I mean, there's no choice. We can't go out there and change anything at this point. So you have a large-scale study proposed for next year, so we'll just look at it and see what we get.
All that pump repair work they were doing, there's got to be a lot of scent.
I think so. I think that's... Well, we saw it with Bonneville, Cascade Island, too. Okay.
Did anyone go out and do hydraulic verification in front of the ladder post to see if things changed a bit? I mean, we said we got the same velocity through it and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't hear of anyone going out and doing, say, transects below to see, did you change velocity or flow or something.
Yeah, but
like
if
that
you've got a head, if you've got Q and head.
Yeah, but it's like an hourglass shape, right? So it has lower velocity in some
sections. Oh, I understand that.
And higher in the center.
Believe me, I understand this.
So, if it maybe disbands a little sooner.
It does
like
change the characteristic, yes.
That's what I'm wondering if it doesn't change and just the fish without.
And that was the point there. For Lamprey.
Right. I think about this though, Paul Schneider's so deep coming in. And, you know, they're going in at like 30 feet sometimes. You have lower flow at the bottom section of that hourglass for Lamprey. They may not be sensing it. You know, it's kind of optimized for spring Chinook depth and steelhead depth,
could be.
Not really for fall Chinook.
Yeah, that could be the thing.
Well, another thing that changed, too, is the removal of the lower weir.
Yeah, the three unneeded weirs were removed, too. But
I know, there's a lot of changes there that could have affected passage, which they shouldn't have, but they may have. So, yeah.
So what are the next steps here? I mean, you can leave it. Do you need to do some kind of evaluation?
I think
you
need to put those weirs back in.
Yeah.
No, let's change the entrance back to what it is.
And the entrance. And change the pumps.
You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. Isn't that what they say? Doing kindergarten.
Since Trevor mentioned, by the way, Lamprey are passing just fine.
Tell me no.
So we achieved that. We were successful in that.
The Lamprey letter
object.
The thing is,
here,
I mean, spring
so
and summer,
need
there's
a study
no
to validate,
yeah.
Or do you look at the RT
I think
RT
it's just an
data?
Observation. Yeah, I mean, we saw this at Cascade Island, okay? We saw the same entrance, the same idea, and we saw passage go down the first year of operation.
Oh, yeah?
The first full year.
Subsequent years. Yeah. It went back up again. So.
Yeah,
but that's
I'm
the first,
optimistic.
But
yeah.
That's the first full year, right? I mean,
the
spring,
first
summer.
Full year, we had lower. Yeah, it wasn't just.
See, now this is just showing up.
In
this
the
is
fall.
Just showing up mid-August.
So
yeah.
We're lucky.
Because spring and
so
summer
water.
Was fine.
Yeah. We may have had so much water it diluted the heck out of it.
Right.
Right, oh. But we don't know what happened with Cascade Island. You don't have to count on that ladder. So, you know, I mean, when one spill shut off and. I think our attraction spill may be a little more attractive at Bonneville. There's other issues. You can't compare them. All I can say is that the first year of operation with a similar type of entrance, we saw lower passage than we expected to see, but in subsequent years it picked back up again. So, you know, maybe there's a... That's what made me start thinking about curing issues and stuff that's going on in there.
Yeah. The only reason I've seen the only reason I think it might be flow is it did have to let up mid-August, and that's when we really started getting flows a lot lower. So spill has really dropped off. So your traction at both sides has dropped off, and if the entrance attraction is somehow different, just enough that fall Chinook are not queuing on it like they may have.
But they used to. I mean, they used to under all conditions that we've seen this year. We saw higher passage in past years. This year is odd, but
I wouldn't. The shape of the jet, with that new entrance and the shape of the jet, it might just be not as attractive or something like that to fall.
Right.
Who knows? But we
but
can't
what's
do anything
the overall
anyways,
effect
so
on passage time?
Yeah.
But to put this in perspective, we have seen very high year-to-year variability. There were some years there was
we've never
better,
seen this.
But it's been always much less than south. South was
true,
the dominant.
True, but we've never
seen
this.
Right,
this
right.
Is
high variability.
Zero is kind of every day percentage.
Is there, there's an RT study planned for this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Next
evaluation.
Year.
Yeah.
So
yes.
That's
year.
What we have to wait
that
for.
Would be.
Enough said.
There's always at least one or two.
Just
Fall Chinook aren't
Fall
Chinook aren't part of that study,
right.
Are they? Gary? Fall Chinook aren't part of that study.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. It'd be steelhead only.
Steelhead, yeah.
Well.
Steelhead would well fall.
I guess I don't see, maybe Fall Chinook have an issue there, but if there's an issue, I think we'd see it with spring Chinook too. We just didn't have a no-spill condition to look at. So, I mean, you remember, most of these entrances are only 8 feet deep. So I don't care what depth the fish approach at, they're still passing at 8 feet and doing pretty well. This one now has a full depth, but that doesn't mean that those fish won't move back up to that upper flow like they do at other dams. So I don't know if just their approach depth matters that much.
All I was saying is
they're just not buying it.
Yeah, I just wondered, did anyone go out and ever do any transects to even look at velocity transects downstream of to see if it changed at all?
That'd be a verification of
hydraulics.
No one actually measured verification.
Not that I know. Has it ever been measured?
I did all these traction studies over years that never thought to actually tie it up to hydraulics. That's brilliant.
Maybe
why would you ever do something like that?
We have the lamprey bollards at the entrance, so maybe that's what they don't like either. You know, sticking out from the bottom.
I just don't remember seeing it.
Well, I think we'll get a hold of Schlenker and ask him what's up.
Yeah.
Tackle your Schlenker somewhere.
Okay. Any other discussion on this? So, I mean, there's not much we can do right now, but maybe add Paul Chinook to that RT study.
No.
Okay, just go with the steelhead.
Steelhead, spring Chinook, and sockeye.
Miro, you're going to number 7, though. You just jumped over that one. It's your fishway dive, August 13th, was unsuccessful. You need to do it again, late October.
Yeah, that's Natalie's item, really, and it's pending. She's been proposing to do that. It still hasn't been firmed up. I think they're proposing to do now with divers, and they will need an outage.
Which day?
So what they're looking at
late October.
Late October, mid
they
to late October.
They wanted to do it mid-October, but when I said that we would need the two-week coordination and that there's fewer fish traveling in later October and that if you give FPOM an option, they'll choose the later part of October, she is now working with the dive safety office to figure out if we can get the divers out here in late October. But what they're looking at, because the ROV inspection that they tried twice failed, they now want to get divers out there.
When you say failed, the ROV just wasn't able to function.
There was too much flow.
Yeah, there was too much velocity for the ROV to be stable enough.
So why can't they try it without spill?
Maybe when the river freezes, they can. They did try it without spill. We turned spill off on August
13th.
And there was still too much.
Yeah.
It must be that entrance.
Too much flow coming out of that entrance.
Yeah. All right, so this is more of a heads up. We don't know exactly the details of the dates and
you'll have to do a coordination.
So one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It'll be one day with divers.
Yeah, one day with divers.
Late October.
It's coming in a form. They're coming in a coordination.
Okay.
We'll just learn some next time.
Hopefully, we'll have it.
Gee, that'd be interesting comment. 13.
All right.
I don't even notice.
This is the gem you've been waiting for that I told you is coming.
Bonneville B branch.
Bonneville B branch condition and plan of action. So.
You gonna replace the valve?
Fish valve 4-4 is it's stuck. There's the stem is twisted. They did an ROV inspection. The bolts are sheared off, so it's just in one position.
Oh, I love open.
Open.
The stem bolts are sheared off.
Yeah, I mean that's all. Like,
have you heard of?
I'll let Bench can like give you guys the details, but I'm just gonna kind of lay it out what's happened. So they need to do the repair. There's a lot of pressure coming through the AWS conduit. It could be a safety issue right now as far as structural integrity of that thing. Or, I mean,
you're really trying to drop a ladder.
It could bop. It could pop. Anyway, long and the short, we need to take B branch down and fix it.
When?
That's a good question. However, sooner the better.
Yeah, we're looking at the 24th of September to start dewatering it to get it down to the entrance so that maintenance crews can have it on 1 October. They cannot get in there any sooner because of the other work that they have going on.
Get it done as soon as possible.
And, you know, once you get it in there and look at it, then we'll know what it is. Yeah. Hopefully it's just some, you know, sheared bolts and a little bit of hardware, but this is one of, what, five?
Yeah,
there's five of these?
Yeah.
Four identical ones.
Tweaked with last?
Yeah. Different.
So, that had a little different issue.
So we know exactly how to operate it.
Yeah.
A branch.
How much will this affect fish counting?
It won't.
Okay.
It won't affect fish counting.
I don't know.
Do we help the water?
I don't think so. We're going to try this slow takedown and then dewater it with a pump, and hopefully there won't be a bunch of sturgeon.
That's what I was going to say. If you're going to do
that's why we want to go early, and then there's a 2-week window here in the end of September that we can start that, and then jump on it right in the beginning of October.
Can you put the curtain back up so we don't have to limit the 4-bay?
There'll probably still be a 4-bay limit of some.
Yeah, there's going to be a restriction, so how does that impact any fishery issues or tribal fish?
I'm guessing you should have one more week of fisheries next week.
Okay, so in October we shouldn't have a problem.
Well, you're going to have it implemented by the 24th of September.
We should be done fishing by then.
You will have moved upstream, or?
No, I think talking to my tap rep yesterday, he's guesstimating, unless somehow a lot more steelhead show up and that kind of stuff, we're probably going to be done next week.
So that is the current plan.
What's the plan with the sturgeon tank? Do we have a new one, or are you going to use the same one?
We'll build right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a sturgeon issue. Last time we dewatered it at this time of the year, we had one sturgeon, and that was a quick takedown.
That used to be what it was. I mean, the sturgeon issues only last several years.
And later in this.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. More to come.
So, yes.
I'll report back in October.
I was
or sooner.
24th is probably, that works for us.
Yeah.
And if you need bodies, let's talk.
Okay. So that leads us into coordination forms, number 10. Ice Harbor T6.
Transformer replacement. The exact date for replacement of the T6 transformer has not been actually identified, but it's going to occur between the dates of September 17th and the 12th of October this year. This is replacing unit number transformer 6, and where it comes into situation here is that we'll be operating and taking out a number of main units out of service at the same time, fish attraction units, turbine units out of time. So, like it says in the second section, they're moving the unit out. They'll have to move, de-energize bus section 2, which affects units number 3 and 4. And of course, as you move on down to the transformer location, or removing the transformer, it goes to the other buses at the same time. They'll have to be de-energized. That affects, of course, the turbine units' operations. So they'll be operating, a unit out of FPP priority at the same time. And at the time when they're going to be putting the transformer back into place, the new one, it's just going to be the opposite effects of the two. You can see the unit operation as it shows in the fish passage plan there on page number 8. They are following it, as much as possible, but this is what's going to be affected at the time. But in the Snake River that time of year, as you heard, just recently, maybe about 20 KCFS at the very most in the river. You're only operating, maybe one, maybe two units at a time anyway. And generally they're on the south end. We're looking to get this thing done, of course, like I said, between the 17th of September to the first part of October. Fish present at the time would be what, fall chinook, steelhead, and maybe a little bit of coho. So we're looking at doing that stuff at that time.
That's fine.
Good time?
Okay.
Thank you, Tom.
Not ideal, but.
No, it's not ideal.
Okay, get her done.
With the phone you got, make it done.
Appreciate it.
Are you guys going to talk about Lomo Spummer Spill? Is that what's this? Still pending in development?
That's in development.
Okay, so we don't talk about it?
No development.
Maybe briefly, because we have James here, and you might recall that back. Bill, is Bill here still?
No. Bailed a few seconds ago.
Okay. Well, maybe Bill wants to be in the room, but essentially, you know, there's been discussion of doing a modeling trip, and I think we want to know whether we still want to kick that out and plan it over the course of the winter. We were originally going to do it last spring, and then we wanted to wait until hydraulics went out in the field below the outfall and took some velocity data so that that could be used when you did the modeling trip. So I think we might want to start coming up with some dates.
Whether we have the hydraulic information?
Yeah, you know, that would be Ryan Lowry. It has been collected. So maybe the appropriate thing here would be to get an update from Ryan at the next meeting on that hydraulic information. Okay.
Right. So there may not be a problem. That's why we're kind
Kay.
Of... It didn't look like it was going to be the problem in the field that the model showed.
Well, the flow jackets the whole time.
Well, some of it. I mean, they did do it at different levels, so...
I know. It's within
it. Okay, we will do that.
As we go out the river, it looks like I left one out in the title, but it's in our agenda here, page number 9.
We're going to put it on unit 4.
Yeah.
So the next one,
unit 4.
Everybody received in the mail. Ken Phone put it out.
No.
10-3.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, as we go up the river. On page 9, we got Lower Monumental.
Yeah, we're going to add it. I'm going to add it. I told him. We're going to add it 10-5.
Oh, okay.
10-5.
Okay.
So, but 10-3 was...
Actually, I'm sorry, before you get off 10-2, could you remind me, what's the change? I mean, I heard... What are we talking about here? I heard data. I heard Ryan Lowry. What are we talking about?
Well, we're going to... This is...
The idea is, if the model showed a goofy eddy from somewhere of the 40-50 range up to about 80-90. Ryan says he thought it was just purely an artifact of the hydraulic model.
That's okay.
So they put hydraulic measuring devices out this year to verify that one. If there is a goofy edge there and that kind of stuff, every sand manager, I think, says, like, why don't we do a hydro pattern and not have
Okay.
So we're just waiting back to see what actually occurred at that flow range. Do we have an energy or not have an energy? Does real life match the hydraulic model? And that's what we got to find out. Because if it does, or doesn't that kind of lead us down one path or the other?
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Okay, so then 10-3, I think Ken Phone. Was this Ken or are you handling
it? Ken, yeah.
Okay, so that was going to take place today, and the only comment we got back was from Bill Hevland saying, yes, go ahead and get it done. You might recall that some of this has been coordinated about 3 times, and we've never quite totally completed it, so they're hoping to finish it today. 10-4, Greg covered that before. We have a couple add-ins here. 10-5 is LOMO Unit 4 maintenance, and James Gale is here from Lower Monumental. And do you have a handout?
The handout, well, actually, it's in the agenda here, page number 9.
Is the schedule there with the Greg?
The schedule is right here.
Okay.
I want people to look at the schedule here.
Okay, so let's pass that out.
At the same time.
So go ahead and maybe...
Not to read through this thing verbatim, but with BPA's help, we've added a chief of maintenance, we've added some planning staff, we've gotten more efficient at doing maintenance out of the dam. And this year we started in our 6-year overhaul a little early with a significant planning effect. And we've generated this schedule to rack and stack the crews in and out of the unit to get more efficiency. And when you read the passage plan, we're entitled to a half-hour checkout of a unit coming out of an annual or significant maintenance. And it's not enough to get it hot. It's not enough to, you know, tweak the unit in. And when you look at the level of maintenance that we've done on the unit this year, we want a couple of days of runtime to get the unit hot. So out of priority, this time of year, flow consideration under FOP because unit 4 requires more flow. When we originally put this together, it had a deviation for running with head gate cylinders in so that, you know, if we needed to go back and do maintenance, we would just have those in. But since we've moved it out of this fish window back into November, we have forgiven the requirement for head gate cylinders. But we really want to get it hot for a couple of days, be able to go in and look for any drips, look for, do some thermography testing, and make sure that, you know, validate our efforts at work. And so we got to, you know, obviously run it out of priority at this time of year to do that. In the future, our plan is to do this first up unit at the beginning of our maintenance cycle so that we have the water and we have the flexibility to do the level of testing.
So why don't you just summarize what your request is, that, you know, so, this is a big schedule here. So
yeah, so the request is basically to run the unit out of priority for 2 days solid, and then intermittently we'll run it for another 2 days after we do some, you know, troubleshooting and testing and make sure everything that we're good to go.
On November 5th and 6th.
Yep. Unit 4?
Okay. August. November 5th and 6th is the 2 full days and then the intermittent.
Seventh and eighth.
So this is, you'll have unit 1 and 4 running?
No, it'd probably be right now I've got sometimes 2 units running.
So it'd be 2 and 4?
It'd be 2 and 4.
Doesn't matter.
Oh,
that's right. You guys have the fixed plate issue.
Yep. Doesn't matter. Flows right now are
20.
You know, so it may be unit 4 for a majority of it. Mm. You know, even at night.
Well, night's not a problem.
Is even day a problem in November?
Your adult traction is going to be crappy.
Yeah. But are we having adults left? I mean, it's getting kind of late in the year.
Have you seen the numbers? They're still going pretty good.
Yeah, but November.
November.
It'll be down.
But I mean,
it's the only thing. Yeah.
The only flow then, if it's just unit 4, is kind of out, separated away, and whether that's overwhelming your entrances, it seems like you should still have adequate signature from your entrances. That's kind of what our criteria is all about, is to have adequate signature coming out of those entrances to find it, but then we've added operations of spill and other things that start conflicting with it. So I would say that there really should be very minimal impact there, because our ladders themselves will be giving us adequate signature out in the tail race.
We hope, yes.
So does anybody have an issue, I guess, is what we'd like to know? Because otherwise he would like to go ahead and get this unit and get the maintenance done so that he feels good that he can use it.
Yep.
I'd ask Bill what his opinion was. But
Bill's gone.
I don't see it.
Trevor's here. Are you going to sit in for Bill? Is Bill gone?
Yeah, there's no ability to push this a little bit later to get completely out of the fish, or stop with that November date?
Pushed it from September to
November.
To November already.
I mean, November 15th is usually when we say, if you want to get in early, you just say November 15th. Is there a reason you couldn't do 15th?
There's still like 500 fish a day going over at that point. That's granite.
That's granite, though, remember. I mean,
right,
granite.
It'll be earlier at Lomo.
Let's see, it'd be a little bit earlier at Lomo. And so, you know, that's the thing. There'd be more fish up. I mean, less fish upstream.
I mean, if you took 6 days off, you'd be back at the 7th and 8th.
Yeah, I mean.
What species?
Fall Chinook.
And steelhead.
Potentially steelhead also.
And
a little bit of coho. Not worried about steelhead.
I mean, would there be a big...
Don't make it.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It's just November 15th is usually, if we stay, start early, you stay November 15th, but I don't have a big issue with the 5th and 6th. I'm just wondering, is there a reason you couldn't wait to kind of standardize 15th day? You need the time?
Well, from the project's perspective, we've actually racked and stacked our outages to plug this in, you know, because of the maintenance staff.
So, yes, you need the time.
I need the time.
That's all I need to know. Maybe we'll then make it happen.
Okay. Get it done.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
And we'll be looking at adult count numbers.
Okay.
I'll record them in about a year from now.
Yeah.
More monumental. We'll start recording them then.
One more to add under coordination notification, and John Bailey just sent an email this morning on that. And due to the low sample numbers at the fish facilities, Little Goose and Lower Monumental, we've been having the mortality rates exceed 6% a day here and then.
Yep.
At Little Goose, when they've exceeded, the sample sizes have been between 16 and 46 fish. At Lower Monumental, the sample size has been between 8 and 14 fish. So just kind of a notification to folks that we're kind of similar to last year, except we don't have the disease issues showing up and there's no descaling issues, just mortality. Last year we had a lot of columnaris.
I thought Washington's rep, but Charlie. Charlie thought there was columnaris again. But
yeah. Oh, okay. Well,
That came up.
Okay. Okay, so there is columnaris again. Okay, sorry. Then that's a misspeak.
Yeah, but we talked about it. It's, once again, super low numbers of fish. It doesn't take many to make it look like
that. Yeah, it looks awful with super low
numbers. So that's it for coordination notification burn. If we keep moving, I guess the next one is ours again, 2013 yeah. FPP change forms.
This first came out. This is in our July FPP agenda, but it was skipped over.
Has Hevlin seen this?
It was issued in July.
Yeah.
It made the July meeting. It didn't make the minutes for the meeting.
It made the, but it was in the FPOM package.
Can I send them out for review?
And so I coordinated back with Greg. This is what happened to the Lomo fish pumps request. Historically, we've had permission to take the fish pumps out of service for 2 days a month to do maintenance. You know, check the oil, check the pumps, check the control wiring, make sure everything's working the way it needs to work. And somewhere along the line, we've lost the paragraphs that entitle us to take those out 2 days a month. And that's all that's doing is putting that back into the plan so that we can take the fish pumps out 2 days a month for maintenance. And, you know, there's during high flow times of the year, we may not be able to meet criteria. And so there's a mechanism in there for reporting not meeting two pump criteria. And it's just our routine maintenance is all that is.
I'll double check that one.
Are they two back-to-back days or 2 days a month, just 2 days?
We just go down and go do them. And so we've got three pumps, and it's 2 days apiece. So it's boom, 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 and we go through and just take care of them.
But the pump
will
be
down
two straight days? Well, 6 days.
Yeah, I mean, when you take it down and do the work, it's 2 days. 2 days. 2 days.
Page 15.
And we is it in there?
Yeah, it should be. Thanks, bro. Yeah.
Anybody know why it was dropped?
Mm-mm. That's before we had change form.
Oh boy.
I've been fighting a whole lot.
Was that back when I was putting the fish passage plan together?
So it was Bruce's fault?
I'll take it.
Maybe it was Dave's fault. Who knows?
Yeah, let's blame it on Dave. Yeah.
Let's see, how many people have been working on some of the last?
So, do we need to run this by Hevlin?
Yeah, we'll run this by Hevlin. Yeah. I honestly don't have an issue with it.
I don't see an issue, but let's just make sure Bill sees it and says.
It's an FPP change. I'll run by him.
Yeah. Okay. So,
given all the issues we have with pumps, I think doing maintenance is a good idea.
Yeah. I would strongly urge people to think about the PMs, the preventive maintenance being done as routinely as possible, because although now at Lomo, we do hope in FY13 to get two of the pumps rebuilt, but there again, we want to maintain them.
It's three pumps? Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you're
taking one down for 2 days at a time. You have two pumps running.
Yep.
Yes.
You meet criteria at all times except at the highest flows. Highest
pretty much.
Yep.
Which should be a problem.
I mean, it's what we're already doing. It's what we've been doing for years.
We're doing this in other projects, though.
We lost it out of the plan.
Should we be, though?
I don't remember doing this at other projects. That's why
James is bringing it to the table, and we need to ask the question if we're not doing that at other projects as well, because
that's mostly what I'm thinking. Like, my God, why aren't we doing that? If this needs to be done, why isn't this for the other project?
Right.
Or if it does need to be done.
Or they're already doing it, they just
is already being done.
It's probably being done, but it's not outlined in the book or someplace like that to cover.
The
that's
takeaway
all.
Is for you to get a hold of Hevlin.
From their normal operating pump to a reserve
pump. Make sure
pump.
All
that's
your other projects have it in the fish passage plan.
Yeah.
It.
That's all we can do.
Sorry, I didn't mean to create more work for you.
No, that's okay. That's right. You know, we want the fish passage plan to cover stuff. Yep.
We'll do that. That's no problem. Okay. We'll deal with it.
Okay.
All right.
So then we're back to you, Bern, I think.
I think we're going to jump down to... going down to task group updates. The fish counting, we're going to meet in January, so let's push that one off. And go right to Tom Lorz's.
Is it going to be maybe a little more specific? It says discussion will include when and what to count.
Well, so, we've had discussions about how we can where can we reduce funding. And I totally got Natalie went all over me on this, and I'm just like, relax. We're just talking. You know, is there opportunities to not count fish at certain places? That's all.
Yeah, we want to identify,
you know, put that money into avian arrays at McNary or something like that.
Well, no. You know, it's great that Natalie went all over you, because there's interesting developments that research is coming up with that maybe could help us shave some of the costs. So, you know, I went to AFEP last year, and one of the presentations there was the use of like a Didson camera at the exit that to count lamprey. Well, I haven't seen the lamprey group come in and develop the software so we can implement that. And that's the take home that I gave after the meeting is, yeah, get some software, because, yeah, you know, we could implement that, and we could probably implement that at a reasonable cost, more so than adding another 8-hour shift or whatever we need to add that we're doing now. So
that could cover the whole,
yeah, and then hours. That would, right. I mean, so there, I think there's options. We want to talk there, and then I actually push this, which is how I ended up as the lead for it, because looking out to FY14, which is a year beyond next year, we're starting to look at some potentially big reductions in what we have coming in through environmental stewardship. And, you know, for Walla Walla, it was a 25% cut in the ceiling, which means that's has that potential to be that much less in 14. And that is going to ripple through our entire program. And that's not just fish, but it will ripple through the fish program. So
I have a question on that. So that's, so O&M Environmental Stewardship funds the count program.
Yes.
If we eliminate counts, we get reduced on that. You're not able to necessarily take that money and spend it on, say, wires or other O&M projects, right? It's kind of
stuck
in. Yeah, you could if we were actually getting savings. What we would really be trying to do, the reason that I asked for it is let's keep up with the cuts to see what we can maintain. So we really wouldn't be saving anything, because we have to cut to stay within the bucket of money we're going to have. That's really the reason for the request.
If you did cut something in a project, that money is attached to that project, and then that money would be available in the program.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues here.
Right.
I mean, to talk about. I mean, I think we're more enthusiastic about making cuts or cutting things out if we think we can get some of the things that we need to get done. But if it just means it gets smaller and we still don't get those things done, then from our perspective, we're not gaining anything. So
that's back to the meat and hitting it at the policy level, what we have going on.
Issues. I've been talking with folks about that, but it's just, for me, cutting out the count, parts of the count program or transport program, you know, it makes sense if we're able to move that money somewhere.
Right.
But if we're just losing it, it's just gone. Not quite the same incentive.
As my district's fish and wildlife program manager and business line manager, my intent is not to cut and just say, okay, then it's to cut and put to something else. However, it's whatever I get from my PBUD direct.
I know. There's that part of it, too.
Right. My intent is not to cut it just because.
I know.
I don't think anybody's is that, but I'm actually trying to look farther out so that if and when we are faced with that, we've already gone through the racking and stacking rather than all of a sudden have to do it in a month or two because this is what we get.
What I don't want to have is policy folks see that, oh, you cut out this stuff and now you don't need the money.
So, and we're cutting money anyway, everything's fine. It's not fine. We're not gaining at all. You know, we're just losing. And
sure.
I don't want the impression going up the hill that this is, that there's cuts that can be made anyway, and the 25% cuts just cutting out unnecessary fat.
Right, and sure. I don't think that message—that's the message going from my level up to division to headquarters. In fact, they're trying to get a CRFM O&M line item in the budget, and you know
that's what he's.
It's on the radar. It's out there. It's being talked about. You know, how do you fix this?
Right, because I mean, we keep hearing less and less and less.
Right, because I'm getting more and more and more CRFM funded structures handed over.
Right, right.
I mean, the quarter collector. You know, it's not that old.
Yeah.
LPS.
No, it's just
LPS
one thing
is another one. I mean, it's just
bird wires, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one thing after another.
So the intent isn't to cut and just call it good. It's to deal with the failing infrastructure.
Did you bring in those? There's one item in here about the three top items.
Yeah, we have those.
Is that presented today, or is that?
No,
is
it's.
That?
I can put it. In an email or post it. We'll post
okay,
it.
But it was on the agenda.
The top three are for the lower river we have. Okay. You know, like Dalles is the crane, trunnion pin, and something else.
Yeah, we'll get to them later. I just want to know if you actually covered it or not.
Yeah,
that's me earlier.
I've got it. Yeah, we covered it before you were here.
Yeah.
We have it. We do have it.
I'll get it.
It will get
minutes,
posted.
Right?
Yeah, if you read.
Tell me if you read.
I listened to
it. Then you said, listen to me.
That was a hoot.
I pity the fool.
You hear all those undertone things that you don't normally catch when you're talking.
How many more friends have you lost?
I canceled a few off my list.
Okay, so let's move on, because if that,
Tom.
We have to take a lunch break if you don't want to move on.
13-2.
It's up to you.
Yeah, keep moving.
Keep moving.
Yeah, let's deal
Tom,
with
as the leading representative for
I'll
the...
I'll defer to Tim, because I got called next to a much more exciting tribal attorney meeting yesterday. So.
Rarisich actually handled that meeting.
Rarisich thing. It was my early birthday present to you.
Yeah. Here's your birthday present. You got anything to say?
We basically went through our list of items here, presented here, and there's still a lot to do in terms of writing to address a lot of these items.
But we gave them all to Tom to do.
Excellent. Yes. And, yeah, so number 13, Tom Lors. Quite a nice paper.
Do it.
So
there'll be a summary document that'll come by next month or something?
I think there's just work in progress, but the main thing is we'll be spending a little bit of time looking at second powerhouse turbine units next week. I'll be down there, John will be down there, some others. And so I think that's the next big step in this, is just to get an idea of what those units look like at the low end of 1%. That's been our concern.
You're looking at the 1 to 25,000...
December 10th meeting?
What's that?
Did that get moved to December 10th?
The first look's going to be Thursday of next week, and that tells you a lot. That'll tell me a lot. I spent a lot of time on these calls.
That's a TSP-only meeting?
I'm sorry.
The next week. You were just getting out for TSP and that kind of stuff. The meeting that was supposed to be regional did get moved to December.
The trip is December 10th. Actually, at that point, they'll have the BEAT analysis, the more quantitative analysis done. We'll be able to look at that. But this will be a more of a qualitative look, but I have a pretty
hopefully
good idea what I'm going to
in December, we'll be able to look at B1, too. Hopefully in December, we'll be able to look at B1 as well.
Right, yeah, exactly, both of them.
You know, one thing to add, we did meet with PNNL to talk about developing one-pagers for the data mining exercise to look at open geometry versus 1% operation, and then B2, lower end versus upper end, and defining that criteria is still in progress.
Could you expand on that? So you said you did contact PNNL?
PNNL, yeah, we met with them.
Okay.
And we're basically asking them to let us know what they need from us to accomplish this, and a big part of that is defining what is you know, what are the points that we're going to consider the midpoint throughout the various head ranges at V2, and we have yet to get those points from Jim Keel, which is another item on the list.
When might they have that done by, like in December, for example, for the Erdic trip, or is that when
I don't
that
think it'd be done that quick.
January, February,
but hopefully, maybe? Yeah, this coming, you know, by this, I don't know, it's hard to say.
Is this CRFM dollars, or what's funding it?
Yeah.
Do you want an award this month?
We're waiting to hear back from PNL. But we're basically just
going to
look
at
the development phase.
Okay.
Shouldn't be much.
Anything else to add to this thing?
PNL.
So sounds like there's a lot of do-outs coming. And I'll be looking towards you for those do-outs.
Remember that facilitator-dictator comment?
Yeah.
So just an update next month or something on how that's going?
Yeah, it's going to definitely be on the agenda each month until we resolve it. So let's go to VBS task group. Mr. Houseman.
I don't think we have anything new. We met after the last FCON. I don't know where we stand as far as who folks here besides the one that I didn't do.
Do you need to look at the 2012 data?
Yeah, I was just going to look to see, based on the criteria we have currently in the SPV, which doesn't necessarily equate real well with PBS issues, just to see where we would have reinstalled date-wise based on the criteria that's in there, which is a turbidity and flow criteria. It won't take me long.
So does anybody else have anything?
Comments there, Mary, or can you get that data? Silence.
Golden.
I know, I forgot. Mm-hmm. You have any comments, or are you good? I forgot you can't hear. I'm sitting over here talking.
So I can get something out of this here, barely.
Oh, yeah? Didn't say dumbass or anything.
I'll catch you whatever you say. I can hear that.
Checking.
Yeah, I'm just looking at. The main purpose of this was to, one, get the better clarification on the fish passage plan and when we reinstall the screens. The other is to determine a way to keep the screens in if we want them. And I'm just trying to think if we talked at all about. There's been some discussion of getting a PM and a project going to look at that overall issue of keeping the screens. What do we need?
I thought this was going to get lumped into the FGE component.
No. Once again, this is an OPS issue. Okay. OPS is the champion this.
Okay.
So that's still floundering.
Your job has changed.
Been in the minutes a couple times. We're just kicking the can down the road, but I want an answer as to whether Coral
will I'm not
start this as
down,
a project.
So it's an OPS issue. I've discussed it on my end.
This is the one where having the two crews cleaning screens during the high debris load would potentially keep screens right. in.
How do we keep
them? That's where this discussion
went. Or do we just take them out and call
right.
it good?
Right.
Or do you want to take them
so
out?
We
if
need
you
to
don't want
the
to
data.
Take them out, we need to increase cleaning.
Right. But what are we using them for?
What does that cost? And is there equipment that we need that would facilitate that? That's what I'm after. So typically you get a crew together and start looking at this.
Okay.
From a mechanical engineer's project folks. We just need to resolve it. 2 years now we pulled those screens out and left them out for months.
We haven't pulled them, sir.
No, but it's happened.
Well, it has. It has. We didn't do it for
7 or 8.
This is an ugly year.
All right, well,
this is a bad
we're going to keep kicking this can until we get an answer.
Well, we made it through.
So, yeah.
Half-month?
All right.
AFF. I'm still waiting for a PM and a TL to be assigned.
Okay. That's another concern.
Yeah.
time's a waste on here.
So, John, what's your deadline? Because, I mean, I think some of us said that unless the AFF was wasn't modified, the research next year we wouldn't be approving the research for doing all the adult tracking stuff. Last time I checked in September, the time's fastly approaching. I mean, do you guys think you can get this done quickly?
I checked this week, you know, on the status and have not heard back. It's above my head.
There might be all kinds of money, then.
Yeah, I mean, that message needs to get carried back to whoever's the person over your head is or told them the cards on this one, because threatening to hold this whole thing, the whole research year hostage to getting that AFF improved. It's just, it's no different than the Ice Harbor trap.
I will take that back.
So, who have you been? Have you requested a PM through programs?
Yeah,
they have one.
We're just waiting on research.
So, what happens? I don't know. Just sitting there.
We don't know research.
Okay, I'll bring that up to Don's attention, Don Erickson as well. Okay, so that leaves the Sturgeon Task Group, which is next meeting is going to be after. It's not going to be at Bonneville. It'll be after October FPOM meeting here. I've got Mike Parsley coming in to give a presentation at the end of FPOM. So there you have it.
Cool.
It's a wrap.
So that.
Anything else?
What do we forget?
All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
Out of here. Well, thanks. Until next month.
I know.
Hopefully, you can hear by then, Gary.
We got no reason why.
Made progress.
How did it just suddenly come on?
Yeah, no, it's not it. In fact, at times it comes back to me.
The task group was
nerve damage. Nerve damage.
No, my wife's trying to give me
I can still hear.
Probably better than hearing bells and whistles.
No, I got it. It's just silence. Blissful silence.
Well, I got some of that.
I wanted to interview myself. I probably indirectly frustrated you.
Awesome.
So I have 15 names.
I'm on my way back.
Okay. Are you in tomorrow?
Well, that's the thing I'm debating about. I wasn't going to be at it, but I've got this thing that was due tomorrow, so I've got to kind of reevaluate that.
I was just wondering.
Are you not in tomorrow?
Well, I'm in tomorrow for a little bit, but I want to make sure I want to get these things out. Double check the things that I want to get out.
Okay. Are you out next week?
No, I'm in next week.
Okay.
So I think it's looking pretty likely that I will, even though I'm supposed to be, that I will come in. I got a weird shit going on with relatives. Like, I got this email from the city builders on the East Coast, and they were like flying in for 3 hours today and wanted me to know if I could meet them either Friday or Sunday.
Pick them up and see them.
So I'm dealing with that a little bit, I guess, unless I got my arm twisted real hard.